Alrighty, hey there, hey, Joel Radio's back, welcome, welcome. It's Joel Radio, Joel Fragment here, Corey Hall sitting over there.
Howdy, everybody.
Welcome to the big show we got for you today. It is a big show. There's a lot going on.
The excitement is rippling through the
world. Well, there's a lot to talk about today.
Yeah.
Because there is entertainment news we have to cover, Corey.
Oh.
I've got television reviews, movie reviews. Mm-hmm. I just got back from vacation. I'm going on another vacation. We can talk about that if you want, or maybe we'll just talk about it when I get back, but a lot going on.
Yeah.
A lot of famous people dead, Corey.
They're dropping like old people.
They're dropping like old people. Yeah, they're really not.
I mean, you know, Neil Simon was 91.
Exactly, yes.
Bless him.
Right.
Aretha was how old? 80 something?
76 or something
almost,
like that?
Yeah, that's...
How old was John McCain? 82?
81. Yeah.
81?
Yeah.
So
these are not unpredictable deaths. You know?
Not at all. And I don't know any bad stuff about Neil Simon.
I've never heard a bad word about Neil Simon.
But the other two.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And we can go there right away, or we can wait?
Well, look, people are... Okay. So there's what happens now is when a celebrity dies... Mm-hmm. Everyone has, there's two things that happen. Hot takes.
Yeah.
Everybody spams their hot take. Or then there's the chorus of, why don't you let the body cool off?
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you be respectful? You know, and then there becomes the secondary, okay, enough with the Aretha coverage now.
Well, there's that too.
And there's been kind of a little bit of the fringy right wing has been like, why are we covering Aretha this heavily? Well, now you got John McCain, so why don't you shut up?
You got your
guy who's getting a taint lick from beyond the grave.
I mean, look, John McCain was held in a box by the Vietnamese and tortured, and
sure.
No one should criticize that. I guess the president did, but very few people in the world will ever. No rational, sane person will ever criticize
that. That's not
that.
The part of. Well, there are people who do.
But that overshadows absolutely everything the guy ever did in some people's minds. And I go, you know, no,
that's not the part that you would. I wouldn't criticize that.
No, I'm not criticizing that either. But he's not a saint because he was held in a box and tortured.
No, my dad's a Vietnam vet,
exactly.
So I'm pretty sensitive to that kind of, you know, those issues and stuff. And I hated what they did to John Kerry,
right?
When they lied about him, and I hated when Trump was like, you know,
but
I don't like I like guys that didn't get captured.
But,
like,
well, that was
because like, Trump ever flew a plane,
idiotic, yes.
Or volunteered for anything. So that part of John, you're right. No one can go,
and you can't.
The Viet Cong stuck bamboo shoots up his dick hole.
Right.
Well, it wasn't the Viet Cong; it was the NBA. But it, you know,
but you're not a saint for the rest of your life, and you're not above criticism at all because this happened to you.
People
it
were upset.
Just doesn't. You can't do that.
People are upset with John McCain because he later in his life,
mm-hmm.
in interviews would be like, "Well, I still hate the Gooks."
Yes.
Well, okay.
He did use that word in public.
Should he have not used that word as a senator?
He shouldn't have. Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah.
But did any of the people who asked him the questions or were upset about it get tortured for 5 years?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they broke his arms and...
So among the things McCain is known for doing was not allowing the state of Arizona to have Martin Luther King Day.
Right.
Which
he walked.
Know,
he walked back eventually.
He
but
did, yes.
There wasn't there a Public Enemy song about that? By the time I get to Arizona.
Well, Arizona was the state that held out.
Right, right.
You know, everybody, when MLK Day became a national holiday, Arizona went like, yeah, we're good.
Yeah, Chuck D did not eulogize.
Yeah, John McCain was on the wrong side of that. He also
Keating 5, he was involved in the bailing out a guy who, there was the savings and loan scandals in the 80s.
Yeah.
He was one of the five senators that were on the take for the guy.
I think if you're in the Senate long enough, and he was certainly there forever.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have these things come up. It's hard to, you know.
You get a lot of misty-eyed
He was really for censorship. He said the UFC was human cockfighting and it should be banned from pay-per-view, which almost bankrupted that company.
Yeah.
And actually did ultimately force them to sell, which then they became successful after the sale.
Mm-hmm.
But he tried to single-handedly ban that, which was a dick move. I'm sure he was on the wrong side of the record censorship, the Hollywood violence censorship.
I don't know.
Stuff.
Was he involved in the Tipper Gore?
You know what? That I don't know. I haven't done a real deep dive on.
Look, John McCain
being an asshole. But he was. Look, was he a hero? Absolutely. Was he an asshole?
Absolutely.
There's no. I mean, and I'm fine with that. And I'm not saying that he's not a hero. Absolutely not.
Well, here's the weird thing, though.
But if you say to people, John McCain is an asshole because he tried to ban King Dane. They're like, you can't criticize him. He was in Vietnam and he was tortured.
Right.
And you go, those two have nothing to do with anything whatsoever.
Right. One does not override the other.
Right.
Much like when people were upset that John Kerry came back and criticized the Vietnam War, doesn't mean that he didn't go to Vietnam and get shot at.
And
so, like, those are
Aretha,
you know,
didn't pay her bills and stiffed her family members and did all kinds of nonsense. And was, you know, it's funny. She was part of Divas Live, which was a big, there was a point in our history, in our recent history, where we were celebrating women for being assholes, Corey. Isn't that great? Wasn't that a great period in our life when,
what do you mean,
Divas was the thing?
What do you mean period in our life?
Well, there was the active, like, Divas concerts. And, like, she sang with Mariah Carey and those two. Because, you know, Mariah Carey, not a nice person, let's be honest, right? And those two had arguments about doing a duet, and, you know, Aretha Franklin was a pain in the ass. She was hugely talented. She made great records, and no one's taken that away from her. But the fact that she died without a will, I don't believe is an accident. Because I listen to these pundits on these TV shows talking about, well, how does she die without a will, and they're having these legal commentators, Your man over at Fox 2's on there.
Charlie Langton is on the case.
I don't know how she could have. Yeah, here's how she doesn't have a will. She said fuck you to her family and said, I'm not making a will. Go fuck yourself.
Fight over it, you dicks.
She left a note. Right. I believe they will find a note that says, go fuck yourselves, assholes.
Well, here's
She was too infirm to write that note, but the point is there.
Here's the thing. Aretha lived here.
Yeah.
For most of her life.
Yes.
We're in Detroit, and she's from Detroit. She had homes. She had a condo on the riverfront.
Okay.
And she had a house in Bloomfield Hills and like another couple houses.
Oh, yeah.
And it, really, the one in Bloomfield Hills was kind of where she spent.
It was her home.
The Detroit icon lived out in the suburbs. But she didn't like to fly.
Okay.
So she would ride the bus everywhere.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like we get, the thing is, she's to a certain extent, as world famous and beloved and cherished as Aretha Franklin was as a performer, she was just kind of a lady from Detroit.
Yeah.
And acted a little bit like a crazy old lady. You know what I mean? Like
a rich old lady from Detroit.
Yeah. Didn't act rich.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? People would see her at the grocery store.
Didn't she have, like, florist bills she didn't pay and stuff like that?
Right.
I've heard all these stories.
I'm saying in terms of her taste.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
She didn't have sophisticated tastes, I think, in a large degree.
Well, it was a lot of mink coats and a lot of just tacky shit.
Right,
and,
sure.
You know, whatever. I'm not blaming her for that. But
she was just on a certain level.
Yeah.
Just a regular, like, Detroiter.
Right. And first of all, I'm a fan of Aretha Franklin. I think she's a great artist.
Absolutely.
I think she deserves all the praise for her art, for her body of work.
Sure.
She's one of the great talents of our lifetimes and deserves to be celebrated. But she's also not a saint. And, you know, it's some people with their fame and privilege do great things with it. And others use it for their own gains or, you know, in a selfish way. She did not strike me as a nice person. I don't think I would have, if I would have met Aretha Franklin, would have liked her very much.
I have had, I never met Aretha Franklin, certainly I've known people that, that ran into her, had run-ins with her.
Yeah.
And she could be a little bit diva-y, is the word.
Well, that's what I mean.
And, you know, so it's interesting. You get the hometown story.
You do.
You know what I mean? I'm sure everybody in Memphis had stories about Elvis.
Sure, and, yeah.
You know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It is funny. I do think Aretha Franklin had one of the greatest voices ever.
She did, absolutely. The album, not in any question at all.
I Never Loved a Man the Way I Love You is a perfect album,
okay.
Which she did with Jerry Wexler at Atlantic.
And that's another thing people got to realize. She was not a Motown artist.
No.
She's often lumped in with, you know, these great Motown artists, and while she was from Detroit, she was actually never on Motown Records.
Right.
And apparently Berry Gordy tried to sign her at a point and couldn't because she, Berry Gordy wasn't established. And she recorded for Columbia and actually didn't have success at Columbia and got dropped. Ended up on Atlantic, worked with Jerry Wexler,
right.
Went to Muscle Shoals, recorded at Atlantic Studios in New York City. That's where she had her greatest success. So she actually had sort of a second bite at success, and that's what everyone knows her for.
Right.
And then, of course, the stuff she did in the 80s, which I think was Arista or something. It was another label she moved on to.
You mean
Freeway of Love?
Freeway of Love.
And I Knew You Were Waiting for Me with George Michael, which, those two are gone, Corey.
Wow.
Yeah, they're duetting somewhere.
Mm.
I'm not sure if it's heaven or hell.
They're duetting somewhere, Corey.
By the way,
a friend of mine.
I was going to give you a Freeway of Love trivia.
Oh, God, what do you got there?
Well, the video for Freeway of Love was shot just blocks from the Joel Radio Studios in beautiful Ferndale, Michigan.
Oh, there you go.
At the old Doug's Body Shop, which became Eden Nightclub and Glow Nightclub.
It's now going to become, it's going to, oh, wait, who's buying it?
Somebody's buying that thing?
Yeah. It's going to be, anyway, I'll look it up.
Okay, well, I'm sure someone's going to put French fries in a paper cone there and charge us $12 for it. Thank you, Detroit, for that.
Hold on.
Hey, maybe someone should do there? Make their own beer. Can somebody make their own beer? I could use a place like that.
Who's making
their own beer?
Doug's Body Shop, by the way, was a place that originally was like, you know, a lot of stuff here is auto themed.
Yeah, and that's why I think they shot the video there.
And it was originally, it was kind of a cool place in that the booths were made out of, they would cut in half cars.
Yeah.
So you'd be like sitting in a Buick Skylark, and so there were like half of cars that you'd get in and be booths, and then eventually it became a gay bar.
It did, yes.
So the body shop it had some infamy, something different.
When it was Doug's Body Shop, it also had stand up in there as well. While the time they had music, but also just trivia note because I did watch.
Didn't
the video
like Dave Coulier play there?
Well, a lot
like
of the guys that we know,
1979,
a lot of Jim McClain and some of our buddies, Leo DeFore and Norm Stoltz, and those guys played there. But Clarence Clemons, the big man from the E Street Band, played sax on Freeway of Love, and he's in the video, and he. Is that Doug's Body Shop? So he's gone as well.
Oh, Bobcat Bonnie is opening a new location.
Oh, Bobcat Bonnie. Well, Jesus Christ.
That'll be their third location.
And I like Bobcat Bonnie, but
that's like their third location.
There's no need for another one.
Will they have a gourmet burger?
I would hope that they do, Corey.
I wonder if they would do one of those. Is that something you could do?
Corey, I can't wait to get those tater tots, man.
Mm.
Oh, they have tater tots, Corey.
Can you
believe it?
I'll tell you what. Okay.
Can you believe? But can you believe that a gourmet restaurant would have tater tots?
How about,
it's like school lunch over there. I can't get over it.
What about some kind of poutine with a brisket on it?
Oh, why not? Sure.
Yeah. I mean, look, these are all staples of hipster places. I mean,
yes.
What about a cotton candy application? Is that a possibility? I will say this in defense of tater tots, okay? I have a new,
they're delicious.
All right.
I'm not putting them down.
I have a new favorite tater tot.
No. Oh.
That's amazing.
Hold on a minute, folks. I just want to make sure that I'm going to do a PR news release here,
Joel
Corey.
Joel doesn't get to enjoy Joel the tater
Radio.
Tots on his diet.
That's. By the way, there's 2 days left on that fucking thing.
Well, here's something I recommend you might do.
Yeah.
Although you don't like the spicy stuff.
Yeah, I don't.
At Ye Olde Saloon, which is another, you know, for years it was an old man bar.
Yes.
Now, they haven't really changed anything. It's ridiculous. It's got, like, in one side of it, the whole wall are painted caricatures of horses.
Okay.
It was like some kind of horse racing themed bar. There's another one called Green Dot Stables.
Green Dot Stables.
Which is also like an old, they have the 70s.
Ye Olde is actually pre-hipster, so let's give them credit for that.
Except now it is kind of a little hipster.
Yeah.
But it's not too bad. And it's actually like we've started going there as like, we can go hang out. That's like one place in Royal Oak that has parking. That you can like go and like,
you know
what I mean?
Yeah,
it's a good place to start or finish.
Yeah.
If you're gonna, because Royal Oak has become impossible.
It's Royal Oak without being Royal Oak.
Yeah, it's got its own parking lot.
There's not college girls throwing up outside.
They are, but they got to walk further down the block.
Well, I mean outside Ye Olde.
Right.
Yeah, You see John Tenney having a cigarette out there. Sure, but there's sure. usually not.
Anyway, they actually have a very credible bar burger there.
Okay.
And then, like, Sunday night, you can, like, make, it's like a dollar burger, and then your toppings are 25 cents or whatever. Okay. So you can make your own burger. And they have a thing called tachos.
Okay.
Which are tater tots with nacho toppings.
Okay.
And
that's a poutine sort of deal. Yeah,
yeah, but it's kind of amazing.
Okay.
It's real, like, you know, you put a little salsa, a little cheese, okay. a little chorizo on there. They're amazing. So
okay.
I will give that.
Again, that I'm not putting up potatoes, but it just became a thing where, like, right. everybody's got a pretzel bun and a tater tot.
How fat am I that when you start talking food, I forget about John
well,
McCain?
Well, let's fuck both of those idiots. And let's move on.
Did you see the one thing?
What's that?
About McCain.
What did he do?
They announced his death on NBC.
Okay.
During America's Got Talent.
Oh.
And you got to see this clip.
Yeah. Because it was a Saturday night, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So they cut it. They were running a rerun, whatever. Because America's Got Talent is on every time.
And they replay it, yeah.
Pretty much from May to September. That's all that's on.
I think it's only two nights a week live, but then the replays right. are a couple
it's
other
that
times
or out. American Ninja
yes.
Warrior are
yes.
like the only things that are on.
I actually watched a little bit of that last
right,
night.
Right, right. But that's summer TV. Anyway, so they're playing the you know, they cut in, they're like, Senator John McCain has died at 81 years old. And they do a little tribute to John McCain.
Yeah.
And they're like, we now return you to your regular programming. And I swear to fucking Christ, it's two shirtless guys in dolphin hoods.
Yeah.
Like, riding unicycles, and they're, like, jerking off.
Of course.
With, like, horns. It's well, the greatest. We'll put that clip.
Never say America doesn't have
it's
talent.
It's amazing.
Please, don't
it's
say that.
It's the greatest. Oh, my God.
Okay.
So good.
So I was in Canada, and I'm going to, the food thing just got me thinking, so we're going to start here. But, you know, America, and we know this, and we proved it on the last show, and we won't go any deeper on it today, I don't think, but we know that America leads the world in Oreo technology, Corey. We've proved that. I think our history has shown that. The okay. USA leads the world in Oreos.
Well, I mean, we run, you know, the Oreo
we do. The Oreos.
Kit Kats, which are an American creation.
It's funny you say that.
Have been co-opted by the Japanese.
Well, wait a minute, Corey. As I traveled internationally last week, Corey.
Yeah.
I have brought back some of the world's finest Kit Kats.
Oh, my goodness.
For your
now, are these poutine-flavored Kit Kats?
I'm going to show you what it is. Oh, I'm going to show you. Well, First of all,
it's probably ketchup, those bastards.
No.
Hey,
these...
Sorry. these are dressed
well,
up
Well, one
Kit
of the
Kats.
Things you're going to learn about Kit Kats is that our four-bar Kit Kat, I think, is uniquely American. Many places, the Kit Kat is a single bar, Corey.
Hmm.
Did you realize that? It is a single bar of chocolate. So I'm going to present you here. Hold on a second.
Okay.
I've got the... So we can use this as the base... Sorry, I should have prepared this better. All right. So here is the base Kit Kat, Corey, as internet... The Nestle-branded Kit Kat crunchy...
Holy mackerel.
It's like one of the four bars of a Kit Kat, but it's
okay,
just,
but it's one big
it's
bar.
It's one big bar. Yes.
Okay.
So that is what an international Kit Kat is.
Now with extra milk and cocoa.
Well, go ahead and open that up and take a bite and tell me what you think of it.
The Japanese style is still the four.
It's the Jap. Okay, but this is from Canada. This is from the U.S. Canadian duty, and it's a Kit Kat, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, being a bigger one, it makes a difference.
It does. It's got a different mouthfeel than a small Kit Kat.
Okay.
I find because. I got many of those, and they didn't all make it to the show, that it feels a little less satisfying to just have the one chocolate bar, though. Somehow, the four little pieces feels like you're getting more on some level, but...
Ritual's important, Joel. The process of breaking apart the Kit Kats.
And then here is, again, get ready to save some space in your belly, because there's different types of Kit Kats, Corey. So here is the hazelnut cream chunky Kit Kat, Corey. There you go.
Well, now I'm interested.
All right. There you go.
Yeah.
In fact, hand me the stock Kit Kat. Now, try to not eat too much on the mic. I got a complaint last week about eating on the mic.
Did you?
Yes, a guy complained.
Yeah, they can eat my butt. All right.
maybe I'll turn your mic down. But again, one of us needs to talk while you're eating. Corey has dived into the hazelnut.
Let me eat into the mic.
Oh, come on. Please stop it.
You know, it's subtle.
It's subtle, but it's good, right?
I had that.
But the hazelnut flavor does catch up to you a little bit, yeah. little Nutella flavor to it.
Is the chocolate a little different in these as well? Or
I don't think so, but it's a very sweet chocolate. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Those are good. I'll give you that.
Now, but Corey.
Wait.
Are you
more?
Ready to take it high? Are you ready to go farther, Corey? Mm-hmm. I'm quoting a hypnotist that I see.
Oh,
some.
Okay.
Corey, are you ready to go further?
Okay, baby.
If you're ready to go further, make some noise, people.
I'm ready, baby.
If you're ready to make... All right.
I'm ready to take it to the limit, baby.
Let me present to you the peanut butter crunchy Kit Kat, Corey. There you go. Well, take a look at that. There you are.
Now you done did it.
There it is.
Oh, my God.
There it is, the peanut butter Kit Kat.
Well, look, as I've said often, Europe has better chocolate.
Well, again, these are from Canada, but I think these are international.
Europe has better chocolate overall, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But what they don't have is American chocolate and peanut butter technology.
But they
peanut butter is like an exotic food in Europe.
But the wafers, Corey, that's an international thing.
Oh, well, that's your winner
there. That is the winner, and that's why we built into that one. Mm-hmm.
Like the hazelnut, you might not even really notice at first.
Mm-hmm.
But... That's you know what? Chocolate and peanut butter technology. That's how we maintain candy supremacy. I mean, I don't know. Look, I'd rather probably have a Cadbury bar. Anyway, the other Canadian chocolate treat is the Coffee Crisp.
Yeah.
Which is like a big Kit Kat, but with coffee cream.
Yeah, exactly. So.
And those are good. Those are excellent. All right. Well,
a peanut butter Kit Kat is fantastic.
Yeah. All right. Good for you, Canada.
Go Canada. And you can see this box. That
oh, Canada, our home and native
This box land. In the shape of a Kit Kat.
Okay.
Shape of a big Kit Kat. So anyway.
Well, all right. Well done, Canada.
Oh, I'll leave those there.
Wow.
Yeah.
A little chocolate and the whole show comes derailed.
Absolutely.
All right. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Getting back on track.
Getting back to where we were. Mm-hmm. Television, Corey.
Oh, God.
Netflix. Netflix, Corey. Netflix, a service where women in yoga pants will rise up with weapons to defend, I think, Corey. I think that's safe to say.
Okay.
I think any attempt by John McCain to ban Orange is the New Black would have been met with a violent resistance. It would have been pumpkin spice lattes thrown.
Oh, by the way, today
on the Senate floor.
Today, as we record this,
yes,
I don't know. I'm speaking to the future people about when we might, you might hear this. But as we're recording today, is the official first day.
Oh,
that the pumpkin spice latte has returned.
Yes, exactly. I don't want to get in. I don't care about that.
It's 90 degrees outside.
It is.
But the fucking pumpkin spice latte.
It's fall.
Is available.
Isn't it amazing how much of our perception of seasons is determined by when children are attending school? Isn't that amazing?
I know, because the little bastards that run around out front in our courtyard make summer an unending nightmare for me, because they're just running around screaming for months on end.
But it's amazing. It's 90 degrees out today. Uh-huh. It's 93 out.
Yeah.
But it's fall.
Uh-huh.
Enjoy it.
It's not really fall yet.
Get a sweater, Corey.
It's not fall yet for a couple weeks.
Grab a latte. But anyway, Netflix.
Well, because in America, though, you could, with global warming... We now can only determine the shifting time, because the weather, doesn't really change. You know, you get winter, but it's in a compressed format.
I don't know. Winter lasts till April. Last couple of
years.
Yeah,
but it only starts in January.
Well, here's the
Because we'll get like 50-degree days in December. I'm saying that you can only tell based on the shape of Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Are they the heart shapes? Then we're in February. Are they egg-shaped? Then we're in April.
All right, that's a good
way. Are they pumpkin shaped? It's holla-fucking
Christmas
me.
Tree.
Uh huh. Right.
You could have a Christmas tree.
All right.
Netflix has canceled, Corey.
Oh God!
Some of our greatest entertainers are jobless today, Corey. If you go and buy a pumpkin spice latte, it may be served to you by Michelle Wolf, Corey, because she's out of work.
Oh boy.
Also, maybe this guy's the shift supervisor over there, but believe it or not, Corey. I'm going to stand in front of a green screen today, Corey, and be pithy about the firing of Joel McHale from Netflix, Corey.
Well,
so please go ahead. Your opinion. Why did these basic cable superstars lose their gigs on Netflix?
Well, okay. Michelle Wolf was a writer for The Daily Show and for Seth Meyers, right?
Something like that. I don't know.
She's a stand-up comic, and she was a writer for both those shows. And I think they'd bring her out occasionally to do desk pieces on The Daily Show.
Mm-hmm.
That's about where Michelle Wolf should have remained.
Right.
Her show was like, and I watched several of them.
Okay.
It was sporadically funny.
Yeah.
In that it was mostly stand-up bits.
Mm-hmm.
What? Michelle Wolf has this really scratchy voice.
I mean, she was doing stand-up bits or she was...
She does stand-up, acting, like her monologue.
She sits down and does stand-up.
No, she stands up.
Oh.
So she would, for like a half-hour show, 10 minutes of it would be stand-up.
Oh, and it's jokes about current affairs?
Sure. Okay. Michelle Wolf's basic material is... Well, okay. So her whole thing is she's kind of a weird-looking broad. she got kind of a squinty face.
I don't. First of all, I know this is going to sound bad, and I don't mean. I'm not sure.
Pull up a picture.
No, but I.
Okay. Pull up a photo of Michelle. Okay. There's a couple of different things. Okay. Now, there was once a time when every woman in comedy looked weird. Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, Phyllis Diller or Moms Mabley or, you know, there you go. There's Michelle Wolf.
Well, all right. But I mean, I'm not.
She's got like frizzy hair. She's got big weird.
I don't know if that's. I don't know her ethnicity at all. I'm trying to say this without offending anybody.
She did a
but
bit like that on The Daily Show where she's like, people think I'm black, but I'm not.
She's just really freckly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And these range. By the way. Here, I'm going to sound like a dick. Mm-hmm. Just doing the basic Google image search. Michelle Wolf looks like... It's like a 7-point swing. Do you know what I'm saying, Corey? Do you know what I'm going at?
Well, anyway.
All right, I now officially sound like a dick. I'm sorry.
Look, we don't want to judge
make
people...
Make up for
okay,
by eating this Kit Kat
right.
into the mic.
Look, obviously you and I are in no position to judge people based on their looks.
No.
You and I being the handsome, studly hunks of beef that we are. I have tremendous physique. If I was a mid-60s territorial southern wrestler who worked the Alabama market.
If you were at a fair getting shot with a cannonball in the midsection, you've got the physique for that.
If I was in a match with Haystacks Calhoun in Tallahassee, Florida, in 1967.
Corey has a physique you want to break cement bricks over.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should be in a job match against Jackie Fargo.
Let's talk about Michelle
Wolf is, okay, not a conventional beauty. Let's put it that way. She's got this big frizzy...
No, not an unattractive person, but yet kind not of, conventionally attractive. Kind of,
okay, she's not like Eliza Schlesinger, where she's like this hot blonde.
No.
Or Nikki Glaser or something.
Yeah.
No, she's got kind of a face for comedy. But anyway,
the voice is this, like this, And then she's like, and then I had an abortion and I shot a fetus out of my hooch. You know, like, I don't know what that is.
You've
got something weird going on there. So that's a midget. Okay. Anyway, I feel that a little Michelle Wolf goes a long way. And her she was probably, and then they had her hair straightened out for the bits. Okay, so the show was like, if it was a half-hour show, 12 minutes of it would be her stand-up, right? She'd come out and do stand-up bits. And I always thought the monologue was too long.
Yeah.
Then they'd go to the desk for a bit. And then they'd do, like, you know, taped satire segments. But they were, like, never... they weren't, like, the Daily Show ones. They were all just kind of, like, pre-taped. She did one that I enjoyed that was, like, they had a car that ran on untested rape kits.
Okay.
Because there were so many untested rape kits, you could just put them in the engine of the car.
Okay.
Anyway, there you go. The premise did not make you laugh, but I don't. I think,
well, what I mean,
I think Michelle Wolf got hot off the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Yeah.
Which does anybody that I feel like is a media event for the media.
Yeah.
I feel like no one actually watches the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Mm-hmm. People just saw the clips of her shitting on Sarah Huckabee Sanders and Kellyanne Conway. And I thought she was good at that. Whatever. She did a fine job. I thought some of her show was good, but it just wasn't consistently. Let me put it this way. Samantha Bee is already working that corner.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Like a strongly feminist perspective, daily news show or weekly or whatever.
Yeah.
Samantha Bee's got a better writing staff and is doing the same kind of thing better than she
is. Well, my feeling, and I'm going to bring Joel McHale in here, is that these people on basic cable, meaning somebody turns their television set on and leaves it on.
Right.
It's on in the background. And certainly for the demographic that these people are drawing, I think is very attractive to television people who are trying to sell commercials. I think the problem is when you go, this is a destination, I actually have to go click on this thing and ask to watch it. I don't think there's that much demand for that kind of stuff. And therefore,
I think it doesn't seem to work on Netflix.
I mean, it seems like the Netflix knows how many people watched those shows. And my feeling is the numbers were low. And I think also, and because Chelsea Handler no longer does her show, her nightly or whatever, is that that whole thing about the next show plays automatically really, really helps those shows. Yeah. And I think part of it, and again, I'm not saying this is all of it, but I think there's a part of that where people literally fall asleep and you've watched an entire season of Orange is the New Black when you were really only trying to watch one and you fell asleep.
We watched like...
Or people put it on and it's on in the background all day. And when it's a weekly thing, if you watch the last Joel McHale, it's not going to play... You know what I mean? It's not... It doesn't function in the same way. And I think the numbers get skewed in a way where...
Well,
the people that actually watch those Joel McHale shows really wanted to watch it, and I just don't think it's that many people.
They did the first... Well, first of all, Joel, I liked the Joel McHale show.
Yeah, I watched a bunch of them.
I'm
not saying I liked it, but I watched a bunch of them.
I enjoyed it when it was talk soup. First of all, it's the cheapest format.
Yeah.
Okay, he probably did too many bits.
Yeah.
Because there's like all these... It's Pizza Ghost. There's all these characters... Yeah. And then the writers come out and put on a funny hat.
Yeah.
Probably too much of that.
Paul Feig was
swishing
around on those. Yeah.
When really what, and you know, Paul Feig is, I've met him. He's a fine fella.
I like Paul Feig. Chippewa Valley Big Red.
Went to your high school.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, B has stopped me from even being in the consideration for the most successful person. The most famous show business
personality. Damn you, booger. Curtis Armstrong's the most famous guy from my high school. Him and Marshall.
I feel like he's easy to pass, though.
Booger, yeah.
I think the thresholds of Paul Feig's kind of A-list.
He showed, Curtis Armstrong came to school one day when I was in high school.
Okay.
He was like in town
and
stopped by to like say hi to the teachers. Because there were like still teachers that had taught him.
Right.
In the late 70s, early 80s that were still there.
Yeah.
And he stopped by and talked to him, and it caused a fucking, like, this is, of course, pre-cell phone internet.
Yes.
But, like, the information chain of notes went passing through the school like a ripple. Like,
the guy from Moonlighting's at our school.
Booger is in the building.
Well, yeah, that.
And everybody got real excited that Booger was there.
Yeah.
And I've met Curtis, a super nice guy. Anyway, I thought the Joel McHale show can't cost any money.
No.
It's him standing in front of a green screen.
Well, but does it cost money to just keep Joel McHale away from Comedy Central? And I think, or E or whatever.
I think you're right that show is better served on a television network where it's on every night and you stumble onto
it. You stumble onto it. It's on after some other thing. Or
Netflix is weird. People go to turn into, you're right, they tune into Netflix to watch Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Or whatever movies are new.
All right.
Newish or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we watched like 4 episodes of Glow just because the autoplay feature.
Yeah, it just doesn't stop.
And the new season of Glow is not that good.
Ooh.
It's kind of dragging.
Ooh. Yeah, Glow.
I like the episode where Betty, what's her name?
Betty Gilpin, the actress?
Betty Gilpin, yeah. Debbie.
Yeah.
She's mad at her ex-husband, so she sells all the furniture in the house.
Right.
And then he shows up and is mad at her, and she's like, what right do you have to be mad? I'm like, you sold all the furniture, bitch. Anyway.
The season had its high points.
She did something completely irrational and then was like, why are you upset with me for
But it also diverged from the point of how do we make this wrestling company successful?
It was side drama.
Which it was, the first season was one story over 10 episodes, and this new one was
hey, you get an episode and you get an episode and you get an episode, uh-huh. and it became this ensemble, and some were better than others. They did the episode that was just the episode of the GLOW show within a show.
Yeah.
I found that went on way too long. It wasn't strong.
Well, it's also kind of like, hey, you guys remember breakdancing?
Yeah, yeah, it became nostalgic.
There's a little bit of the kitsch. 80s nostalgia catch yeah. porn, which I could just watch the real GLOW.
Yeah, and but you can't.
Well,
because it's terrible.
It is. I have a DVD of it, and yeah. I can watch a match.
Right. Well, it's on YouTube. Right, you can watch full episodes of the old GLOW on YouTube.
No, I mean, somebody gave me a DVD of
and
GLOW.
It's not good. You shouldn't watch more than 5 minutes of it. That documentary is pretty good. I think that'll give
that
you
applies
enough
to,
flavor.
Speaking of, I mean, I've been watching a bunch of Piper's Pit
yes.
lately. Because, you know, you know how the YouTube algorithm works. You click on one thing, and then suddenly I'm watching him talk to Dr., you know, David Schultz.
Yeah.
Dr. D. And, you know, or whatever. The you know. It started with the snooka coconut, which is where it always starts, where Roddy Piper breaks the coconut over Snooka's head. I don't see why Joel McHale couldn't relaunch that somewhere else. I don't get why it didn't. Okay, well, they tried to do it every, like on a weekly serialized basis. Mm-hmm. Then they decided that in the spring.
Oh, okay.
And then they were like, well, we'll just dump like six of them in a row in the summer. And then you can watch them back to back to back. Right. But that show doesn't bear watching back
to back. You can't watch 3 hours of that.
No, you can watch 30 minutes of it.
Yeah.
And I enjoy the program because then I see stuff like I would never know.
Right. You're seeing what's going on Bachelor in Paradise, which you wouldn't care about. Yeah.
There's a show on MTV that's called like Florabama Shore.
Yes. It's the Jersey Shore in the South.
And it's like the coastline of Florida and Alabama.
Yes.
And I'm like
the Panhandle and Gulf Shores,
and
Alabama.
No, I don't even get this because I'm like, you know, there's like there's British equivalents of those shows. There's like The Only Way is Essex, or there's like there's one that's like Geordie Shore,
yes,
in Newcastle.
Okay, yeah,
where it's all Geordies.
Yeah,
and then there's, you know, Jersey Shore where they're all fucking Goomba idiots.
Yeah,
this is like a multi-ethnic cast of hillbillies. I don't understand it.
Right. Yeah,
I'm like, aren't you all supposed to be rednecks, but you've got like Latino girls in this thing? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It's anyway, but oh well. I think Michelle Wolf, she is a, you know what? SNL should go, hey, Michelle Wolf, do you want to come on every couple of weeks and do an update desk bit?
Yeah.
Because she can do that very well.
Sure. Yeah. It is, but I think it's,
as a host of a show, she grates.
Yeah.
You can't do that every night.
She's not a lead.
She's not a lead. I think she's funny.
Right.
I think some of her stand-up's good. She did, one episode she fucking did. There was a bit about crows that were necrophiliacs.
Okay.
She did a joke on that. Mm. Then she did another joke on that. Then she got up from the desk and went over and did 10 minutes of stand-up on necrophiliac crows.
Yeah.
Like, they just cleaned out the notebook of all the jokes. And you're like, oh, I know this show's getting canceled.
You know, being talented, and I think if Netflix is showing us one thing, it's like, it's not enough to be talented and be, you know, just have a show. It's about being hot. It's about what is the platform that you're on, whether it be channel or streaming service.
So,
you know, it's
the original Saturday Night Live cast, Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi went on and made the Blues Brothers and then Ghostbusters and, you know, hit after hit, blah, blah, for Aykroyd. And Chevy Chase went and had a successful film career.
Mm-hmm.
And Jane Curtin went and did Kate and Allie. And Garrett Morris and Lorraine Newman went and smoked crack on Sunset Boulevard. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean,
right, yeah.
Like, I mean, now Garrett Morris is now used as a prop in shows like Martin and Two and a Half. What was, no, the Two Broke Girls. Two Broke Girls, which is like, I think sometime if some video format survives 1,000 years from now, future civilizations will look back at us and see all of our sins in that show.
Two Broke Girls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With I love the guy who rings the bell and then, you know, the hack joke is coming.
Yes. Yeah.
In the kitchen.
Right.
Ding, order up. I can smell the kitties from back here.
Two Broke Girls is like, You can see all the wires on that show. You can see exactly how it was constructed.
It looks like
it's not organic at all.
It looks like an SCTV parody of a bad sitcom.
Yeah, it really does, yeah.
And you just go, this looks like some other show's version of what a bad show is. Like on Family Guy, they would spoof this if they hadn't made it.
Right.
It's so bad.
Yeah, that's terrible. Yeah. But, I mean, I guess good luck.
Because then you got the Chinese guy to come in and mispronounce things. And then you got Garrett Morris be like, hey, man, lay some soul on me, blood. And then, you know, it's just like so hacky.
Yeah.
And then you got Jennifer Coolidge.
You can argue that Laverne and Shirley was just the prototype
for it. That's true.
Laverne and Shirley felt real in a way, even though it wasn't real. You know what I mean? Some of those things.
Those performers and characters were likable to an extent.
Yeah, right.
They're not on the Two Broke Girls.
It is. There is so much tacky.
By the way, don't speak ill of Eddie Mecca.
Well, I'm not saying, but there were tons of stereotypes.
The big ragu.
But there were tons
of
stereotypes.
A hero to your people.
On Happy Days and on Laverne and Shirley and those shows from that era. But
wait, what are you trying to say? There were stereotypes on Happy Days?
There were, yes.
Hold on.
But it didn't feel like Pat Morita and Big Al and all those people.
No stereotypes. No.
But it.
How about the greatest icon of Italian American culture?
Yes.
Right after Frank Sinatra, is a Jew, Henry Winkler.
Well, Henry Winkler, sure. Yes.
How come a 5'6" Jew is the toughest Italian?
Right? Ever? Yeah.
Well, how does that work?
Well, I thought you were going to talk about Mr. DeFazio.
What if John Travolta had been Fonzie?
Was that a possibility?
Probably.
I don't know.
He might have been too young.
Well, they were both the Lords of Flatbush, right? Henry and Travolta were in that?
Stallone
and Winkler were together.
That was when they fired Richard Gere.
Okay,
because Stallone and Richard Gere couldn't get along.
Yeah, Stallone made up the gerbil story, by the way.
Right.
Yeah, that is known.
No, they hated each other.
Stallone has given interviews where he said he made that story up about Gere because he didn't like him.
They completely hated each other.
Yeah.
And then they replaced Richard Gere with Perry King. Sorry.
It's all right.
We're going. You know what, guys?
It's fine.
If you're still listening to this after all these years,
it's the last show.
Right.
No, it's
wrap
not.
Wrap it up.
But it's
finale.
Not, but it's
like Michelle
at
Wolf.
This point, we've just
been canceled.
At some point, the well is dry.
I'm kind of a big fan of 70s, 50s movies.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay. I hate
50s nostalgia.
I hate Grease.
Okay.
Grease can eat my butt.
All right.
But I love American Graffiti is great.
Yeah.
Even though that's early 60s.
Okay. Boy.
Where were you in 62? That's like my favorite baby boomer nostalgia movie.
Yeah.
Is American Graffiti. It's great. I love Lords of Flatbush is great.
Okay.
There's one called The Wanderers with Ken Wall where they're a street gang.
One.
Oh, yeah. There's American Hot Wax.
Sure, yeah.
That's got, is that the one? Wait.
Isn't that Fran Drescher and Leno?
I think that's the one with Leno. Yeah. And then what's the one with Robert Wall as Newbom Turk? Oh, man.
Oh, well, you work on that. I'll move along here. I was trying to lead into.
But the last wrap up on those Netflix shows, can we stop giving every Daily Show veteran a show?
No. Why would we do that?
But it's like if you do 5 minutes on the Daily Show, they're like, you deserve a break today. You need a whole special.
It's the greatest show in the history of television. Why would we not use those people?
But doesn't that not show.
Why would we not peel those people away from that? And why would we not destroy that show to make 10 inferior shows?
But again, like I said, with SNL, you can't just take everybody who was on SNL and expect them to be a star.
No, but they did it, and then they figured out that that's not what was making the show successful.
And with The Daily Show, by the way, it was Jon Stewart.
Okay,
It was that Jon Stewart was why people wanted to watch
The Daily Show. But Carell and Ed Helms and those guys got careers out of
that. Those are like the most successful.
And Colbert.
Colbert is the one whose show is good. But when they, Jordan Klepper and all these other fucking people that they give spinoffs to, it's not good.
But John Oliver.
Okay, John Oliver.
I mean, I'm not making the argument for that.
Comedy Central made a tragic mistake in not hiring John Oliver.
Well.
He should have run The Daily Show, because The Daily Show now is a thin ghost of what it was. Trevor Noah's, I didn't think he was going to be a good pick, and I still stand by that.
Well, I just think that, you know, the thing is, you get these people who are making very little money at a very popular show, and, you know, to offer them a lot of money, which Netflix is, I mean, and you can read the articles about
the Hollywood
how
Nights.
Much that's, money. Okay, that was Ken Wall's movie. Okay. But the money that Netflix is throwing around to these people, it's almost like they're just, they'd rather just, they will very, you know, very happy to spend money on a show and cancel it after a year just to see if it works. You know what I mean? It's not like they're not making the tough decisions about what should be on that network. They have a shotgun approach to their programming where it's, and we're going to talk about a couple of Netflix shows in a second that I think follow that as well, a movie and a TV show, where they just go, let's give these people a deal, and if people don't like it, we'll just cancel it and fuck it, you know?
Hasan Minhaj is going to get a show.
No.
They're just going to keep, any Daily Show correspondent gets his own show or her
but
own
I mean,
show.
What's, if you're the Daily Show or you're Comedy Central, what do you do to maintain keeping the... Well, you can't keep those people on the basic cable budget.
I feel like they canceled Larry Wilmore's show and then replaced it with another show that was shittier. So...
Well, who replaced him?
Jordan Klepper.
Oh, see, I don't even know who
right,
that is.
Right. Larry Wilmore, unfortunately, was kind of erratic, too.
Yeah.
And that a lot of times his guests would be his writers.
Okay.
And you know what I mean? You can't now, just, like, you know...
It's... You know, I mean, what predicament is Conan in at this point? I mean, is that
Conan has announced Conan's going to have like a new format.
Yes.
Basically, Conan's going to go to a half hour of like clips.
Yeah.
And it's going to just be stuff that can be viral.
Yeah.
That's really Conan is really right. Kind of oddly enough looking forward in terms of.
And I'm fine with that. But it's also the late night talk show format is dead. Yeah. As we know it. I mean, it really died when, you know, when Letterman and Leno left, it really died with them, in a way, I think. I mean,
You know what? There's room for, like, two of them.
Yeah.
So, like, if you had Kimmel and Colbert, that'd be fine.
But it seems
but
like...
there's not room for six
it
of them.
It seems like there's not interest in it, in a lot of ways. It seems like when you talk about what goes viral or what people talk about the next day,
well,
the interviews seem to be completely irrelevant at this point. And so if you're Conan, why not just do the bits and that?
Well, that's Conan's,
anyway.
That's Conan's own fault.
Right.
The interviews are relevant on Kimmel and Colbert
yeah.
because those guys will occasionally ask,
I guess,
inappropriate questions
yes.
or ask something, you know what I mean, or challenge
okay,
a guest.
Yeah.
Conan never challenges a guest.
Well,
in fact,
Jimmy Fallon does none of that.
None of that either. And that's why their interviews suck.
Yeah.
Letterman's interviews were always interesting
mm-hmm.
because either he had really funny people on or they were fraught
well,
in that someone would come on and plug their stupid product and Letterman always
well,
had a kept a layer of
there,
disdain.
There was an
product.
Expectation that those hosts, whether it be Johnny Carson bringing out what was funny in these people,
uh-huh.
or Letterman being kind of a dick and sort of like, well, how right. will those two mesh?
Johnny could
and
be
that,
kind of, Johnny could be kind of a dick
but,
too, but we don't think of it.
But
that
there's
way.
there's no spark when somebody sits down with Fallon.
No,
there's just none. And you could say the same thing about Conan. I
and
guess
Conan intention. That's what's weird about Conan is
yeah.
his comedy itself has edge
mm-hmm.
when he does the bits and the stand up and he. In the remotes that he does,
yeah,
he's got his persona is constantly kind of an annoying guy,
mm-hmm.
you know, like lovably annoying, where he's provoking people a little or whatever. He does outrageous things. Then he sits in the interviews and it's all suck.
Yeah,
and then it's like,
yeah.
oh, you said something naughty,
right?
Oh,
yeah.
And I kind of hate Conan's interviews.
Yeah.
For that reason, because...
Well, it just becomes...
They don't reflect who, I think, Conan
and
is.
And they're very formulaic about, you know, who was doing pranks on the set. Tell me about growing up. Oh, you had three brothers and sisters. Oh, that's fascinating. Tell me. You know, it's just... There's just nothing there. It's just drivel. It's, you know, it's becoming Regis and Kathy Lee. I know Regis and Kathy Lee doesn't actually exist anymore, but
yeah.
it's kind of becoming just plug, stop, look.
Ripa and Seacrest.
Photo op television.
Yeah.
By the way, the Today Show has now their afternoon program.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah, you ready for that? Because he left, Corey.
Mm-hmm.
We don't applaud this man for one of the bravest moves in the history of broadcast television. But Michael Strahan left the nest of the Regis and Kathy Lee, Kelly Ripa mm-hmm. thing. But now they're spinning off Michael Strahan because there was such a demand. Michael Strahan left and people went like, where can I get Michael Strahan?
Yeah.
You're now going to get the third hour of Good Morning America,
okay,
which is going to be an afternoon program.
All right.
With Michael Strahan.
Time to get...
And Sarah Haynes, who was Kelly... No, she was Kathy Lee and Hoda's intern or whatever.
Time,
who was on Good
time
Morning
to get
America.
A day job. so you don't have...
Well, you just... Yeah, you should be doing that. Not watch that show.
I never would... Well, first of all, I never watch that shit anyway.
Yes. And the only thing I've seen of Hoda and Kathy Lee, ironically enough, was that Joel McHale would have that
clips of them.
What's the girl's name on there? Donna Darling. What's the name of her intern? Who he would always make fun of.
Right.
And that's all I see of that.
Hoda and Kathy Lee though is kind of funny because Kathy Lee is nuts.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And so it's a little, you know what I mean? Like I like television. That's the TV I've always liked. That's why I like Letterman. Yeah. Is something that's got a little edge to it. Howard Stern.
Yeah.
We liked Howard Stern.
Yeah.
This fascinates me. Mm-hmm. Howard Stern was the number one broadcaster for decades.
Yeah.
Like the best. Once he hit number one in radio, he didn't relinquish the throne until he left terrestrial radio.
Yeah.
And now you, whatever.
But Howard. World.
But no one has ever figured out that Howard was successful for a reason.
Yeah.
Is that he was candid.
Well, then he is. I really should have included him as an example of what's going to happen when this person sits down with Howard, because in the same way it worked with Letterman or Johnny, worked with him.
The best episodes of Seinfeld's Comedians in Cars.
Yeah.
Seinfeld's trying to be the nice, gracious host to everybody, but occasionally he'll see he doesn't buy someone's bullshit.
Okay.
Like Ellen DeGeneres and him had a little heat.
Okay.
Because he's just like, really? What?
Yeah.
And Ellen was trying to be like sincere.
Yeah.
And heartfelt. And Jerry hates that.
Yeah.
Like much like I do. you know what I mean? Like, I don't understand. What? Oh, who cares about your feelings? Are you funny or not? And so like, well, look at this. look at this Buick Skylark.
Yeah.
You know, this is I don't know cars enough.
Well, Seinfeld is you know,
this is a Ferrari 727.
Seinfeld is old show business in the sense of it's all about the show, and the real Seinfeld is kind of this boring guy.
Yes.
And when you watch that show,
well, he did his
the show leans real heavily on this is like a real life episode of the sitcom. If you don't know the sitcom, you kind of just watch why is this old guy driving around in a car having coffee with another guy who we don't really know who he is either.
The whole premise of this misguided exercise in futility.
Are you talking about our show?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Is that you and I decided that our conversations on the phone or at the pizza place were funny.
Right. And really, those were, believe it or not.
Yeah, I know.
If you're listening to this,
whatever, or that we were entertaining to people other than ourselves.
Okay.
Now, the best Comedians in Cars episodes are the ones in which you can tell Jerry has an actual rapport with the people.
Yeah.
When he, you know, if it's like Larry Miller or somebody he's been friends with for 40 years.
Yeah. Bob Einstein.
Sure. Somebody actually has Dana Carvey. Relationship. Right. Yeah. Well, Dana Carvey, just because Dana Carvey wants to please you and is always trying to get a laugh.
Yeah.
But when someone goes in there like Ellen and tries to kind of just like have a real conversation with him, or if it's someone, you know, if it's a younger comic that he's just trying to like Aziz Ansari or somebody that he doesn't really have a friendship with.
Yeah, I
they
feel,
bomb because Jerry doesn't give a shit.
But I feel like Seinfeld is, you know, that show is trying to be Seinfeld, the show about nothing, but in real life with real Jerry.
Right.
And it just sometimes, I mean, even though it's interesting to me as a comic,
Jerry,
I get why some people won't like that because it's dull.
Jerry had massive, unbelievable success in his like mid-30s.
Yeah.
So he spent the last 25 years going, oh, there's nothing to worry about anymore.
Yeah.
And so he just worries about, you know, circus peanuts.
Yeah.
Or which actually he kind of worried about the minutiae of things before.
He did. Yes.
That was his bit.
Right.
That's just how Jerry's wired.
Right.
In his special, Seinfeld Before Seinfeld, which is his latest comedy special, at the beginning of it, he's like, this is where I grew up in, you know, in whatever, Long Island. And he was like, I was not raised in a whorehouse in Peoria.
Yeah.
So this is what I had to work with.
Yeah.
And it's true. Like,
right.
You can only do what you know.
He didn't have a lot of adversity. He didn't have anything to overcome.
No.
He was a Jew in comedy in the '80s. It was not a struggle.
Being, you know, comedy's the one place.
I mean,
where,
aside from the tradition, well, whatever
by the, way,
the showbiz struggle is that we all have.
Comedy is the one place where being a Jew is not a detriment.
No, it was not
that
a detriment.
That and banking and law and medicine. All right, so actually, there's a lot of good businesses.
Okay,
with a Jew.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying. Look, Neil Simon. Speaking of Jews, he passed away.
Yes, Neil Simon.
Neil Simon was like the quintessential like. Middle class New York Jew was what his writing was about, right?
Yeah, right.
Not like real wealthy people or real poor people.
No, yeah.
Kind of middle of the road,
mm-hmm.
Like Prisoner of Second Avenue with Jack Lemmon, which is a great underrated movie. That's what Neil Simon worked. That was the corner he worked, but he made it universal and appealing. And so I feel like Neil Simon now would be considered highbrow. And then was considered middle brow.
Right. He was appealing to the masses.
But the level of art has fallen to the point where now...
Yeah, now that's...
I'm not knocking Neil Simon, who I like a lot,
uh-huh.
but I'm just saying the quality of his writing would now be considered kind of highbrow and esoteric compared to like in the, you know, in the 70s, 60s, they were like, well, this is middle brow entertainment.
Right, and you can see things that are trying to... that you know, he is so... commonly referenced in a way. He's just stylistic, you know, the marvelous Mrs. Maisel feels like Neil Simon in a lot of ways, and you know, but maybe because it's period and maybe it's just because it's, you know, New York society,
right,
or whatever
right.
it is, but I mean, he's definitely was a huge influence on people, and you know, I think important, I think Neil Simon will always be one of those guys, like, you know, he has become what's the word? He's become a genre in and of himself, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be hard to say, you know, if you write something that's even remotely, you know, something about something nostalgic about your childhood or something, you're going to be considered Neil Simon or a domestic situation.
The coming
with
of
humor.
Age.
Yeah, the coming of age story. All that stuff is.
Although really a lot of his work was about middle-aged.
It was.
Middle-aged, middle-class frustration.
But what was it? Biloxi Blues and what was the other one?
Yeah, there was the whole trilogy. There was
the Brighton Beach Memoirs.
Brighton Beach Memoirs, Biloxi Blues, and there's a third one.
Yeah, okay.
And those all had Matthew Broderick in them on Broadway.
Yeah. And then some of them, But didn't the Grey's Anatomy guy do one of those?
Maybe, yeah.
I'm trying to remember.
But anyway, I know Matthew Broderick did Biloxi Blues.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, well, he had, look, the guys, Neil's on in the film, in theater, well, Walter Matthau was in the Broadway show, Odd Couple, but he had Walter Matthau.
Yeah.
Jack Lemmon.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and he was blessed with great performers to interpret his work.
Yeah.
Neil Simon, a good guy. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Goodbye, Neil Simon. All right, I was going to talk about I went to Niagara Falls, which is hence the Canadian Kit Kats, but I was going to tell people, have you been to Niagara Falls, Corey?
Not in a long time.
Okay, because here's the thing about Niagara Falls. If you go to Niagara Falls, and this is, you know, now granted, this is
my feeling about Niagara Falls, and I went, you know, long ago, is saw it, good, no real reason to go back.
Well, on some level, sure. I had a great time in Niagara Falls. So, I mean, you can have a great time anywhere, but I had a great time in Niagara Falls. But here's the thing about Niagara Falls. I'm trying to think of a place, and I've come up with maybe only one or two examples in my travels of everybody from fucking everywhere getting together. And one thing I learned from being at Niagara Falls, Corey, is that there's white trash everywhere. There's white trash of all colors, all nationalities.
Well, you know, that's a white trash choke point.
Exactly.
They all filter through.
But it's like, it's, you know, Corey, if you want to watch a Sikh guy eat a waffle cone, get yourself over to Niagara Falls, because that's where that's going on. And everyone's, you know, it's a very, you know, I mean, I want to say, like, you know, Times Square in New York is kind of like that. The Santa Monica Pier, maybe.
The Champs-Élysées is a surprisingly interesting place to see global, like, Euro trash. American tourists.
Okay, I've never been there. But
you will see.
But I'm saying in my travels, these are the places that I could only come up with that would be that international and that sort of you know, I mean, and when I say white trash, people from all over the world, meaning the stuff you're doing at Niagara Falls is inherently garbage. You know, it's bad food, it's bad attractions, it's fun, but it's, you know, it's chintzy hotels and, you know, souvenir shops and all that stuff. And, you know, you have three generations of Indians, eating cotton candy outside a giant Ferris wheel, Corey. I mean, you don't see that everywhere. It's pretty unique.
It's a world of adventure and thrills.
So anyway, I went, had a good time. I'm going to tell you some of the things that I did in Niagara Falls, because Niagara Falls is kind of has that Disney thing where there's just a million attractions. They're all, you know, they're new. There's a place called Clifton Hill where we stayed real close by to that, which has, you know, all of the wax museums and Hall of Mirrors and all of the nonsense, miniature golf courses. And we went to a lot of that stuff. The best thing I did, I sent you a link to it earlier today. I'm sure you took a look at it, but maybe watch it now if you haven't seen it. But they just opened this in June, the Niagara Speedway. Do you know what that is, Corey?
Sure.
It's a
speedway.
Well, it's a go-kart track. It is considered the world's tallest and greatest go-kart track, Corey. Okay. And what people say when they see it is it looks like real-life Mario Kart, because it's like four stories high. So you get on this track that goes in these spirals up. Corey's watching it now. And, I'll put the link on the episode. So go to joelradio.net or just search for Niagara Speedway. And
some kind of generic music behind you.
Yeah.
They race.
It's pretty crazy.
It's a crazy-looking go-kart.
It was really super fun.
Multi-tiered.
I have to say. And now you can find news reports of this, and you watch it, and you go, boy, those carts look like they're not going all that fast. And I think they go about 15 miles an hour as a top speed. Mm-hmm. But when you're sitting 2 inches off the road, that's pretty goddamn fast. And you're going through all these turns and hills and stuff. And 36 go-karts on the track at the same time.
Yeah, it looks fun.
Super fun. Had a great time on that. It's open till like 1 in the morning in the summertime. So you get guys out there who've had a couple. Because that's what I noticed.
I mean, it's not as fun as 696 on
a
Tuesday morning.
But, you know, and the thing is, you know,
where you want to see 30 cars up your ass doing 90.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you know, the thing is, like, there'll be little kids racing. You know, if you're a parent, you could have your kids sitting with you because you can actually fit a kid and an adult in those carts. But there are guys, there's a lot of Euros who are real F1 guys, you know, real Formula One guys that think they're race car drivers. So it got intense. There were lots of pit maneuvers, if you know what I mean by that. Like people hit tapping each other and people spinning out. And there's all kinds of guys on the track, the workers that got to come and reorient your vehicle and stuff like that. It got pretty fun. And my girlfriend started in front of me. I passed her on the first corner and never saw her again.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had to do that. Now, I wasn't going to be held back.
I saw friends of mine went to Tokyo.
Okay.
And you can do Mario Kart racing.
Yes.
In the costumes.
Yes, they did. Yes.
You can dress up like Yoshi.
Yes.
And Luigi.
Right. And there's YouTube videos of people doing that at Niagara Speedway, by the way. Some people I think they actually had the staff do it and they made a promotional video.
Because
it does sort of resemble, I don't know, the proportion of the track to the cart and the colorful carts.
It's got a circular tower.
Yeah, yeah.
Where there's three ramps.
Yeah.
You know, but it goes up in a corkscrew.
And then it goes down, and then you go down the other side. It's really neat. So that was really fun. What else did we do? Well, we did what's called the Hornblower Cruise now. Now, some people know this as the Maid of the Mist.
Hey, now.
Well, the Hornblower Cruise is the new name for the Maid of the Mist on the Canadian side.
Hold on.
Site.
Let me do my Steve Harvey Family Feud. So what now?
Well, it's a hornblower.
Hornblower.
Yeah, it is kind of an odd name.
Did you say hornblower?
And I've done the Maid of the Mist as it used to be known. I think the innovation and part of the name change to the Hornblower Cruise is that they changed the boats.
Yeah.
The little sort of cork bobbing fishing boat things that they used to take under the falls, they don't use anymore on the Canadian side. They have these big touristy double-hulled ships which hold like over 100 people. So that means the line moves really fast, which was a good thing.
Yeah.
But that might be the most fun you could ever have. That, honestly, of all the tourist things I've ever done, of all the places I've visited in my life, I'm not sure anything's more fun than going, quote unquote, under the falls in that boat. It's pretty nuts.
All right.
So you definitely got to go do that. What else did we do that was fun? They have a dinosaur-themed miniature golf course.
Well, who doesn't?
Where I watched a father from Brazil berate his child about a six-year-old child about his putting skills, which later turned in, I think on about the sixth hole, the child throwing his club and physically punching his father. That was fun to be right in front of you.
Oh, good.
So you get fun stuff like that. I went to the wax museum and flipped off the wax figure of Jimmy Fallon and Jay Leno for you.
Good.
So maybe I'll put those up. They didn't have a Corden.
I do jail time.
They had an Oprah. There was an Oprah. And
first of all, that's a lot of wax.
There's an Oprah and an Ellen.
Okay.
And the Fallon.
Are they scissoring?
Somebody broke the index finger off the John Candy. And I was kind of sad about that.
I was going to say, Ellen broke the finger off in Oprah.
Maybe that's where John Candy's finger ended up, was inside Ellen. I don't know. That's a good point.
I don't know where that is. The Oprah and Ellen, at night they come alive.
They do, yes.
And Ellen and Oprah make out for hours on end.
They had a really fun...
Wait, did they have Oprah's best friend, Gail?
And best friend Gail was not there.
Oh, my God.
The best friend Gail is not in wax, but...
My best friend Gail!
Okay, but they kind of... There's a bunch of wax museums. The one I suggest you go to is Louis Tussauds. And the reason I say Louis Tussauds is that you can actually pose with the... They're not like behind
not
a barrier.
Madame Tussauds.
No, well, and I don't know if Louis is related to them or not, but Madame Tussauds.
Why are wax museums a thing?
Because I don't know. They're just goofy and
that's
stupid.
That's some like 70s bullshit.
Yeah,
like,
these were fun though.
I don't see why in this day and age people still go to, because they've got one in New York and London, and they're always in like touristy capitals.
Do you want to pose with Clinton and Lewinsky at the same time? You can do that at Louis Tussauds.
No.
So you walk into
a
room.
That's what Photoshop is.
And it's Prince Charles and Camilla Parker Bowles.
Yeah.
And you know this is them taking the piss. they're tending to a giant horse. So there's a life-size wax, you know, stuffed horse standing next to Camilla Parker Bowles. And you know that's them taking the piss.
You know what I would...
You know that's what that is.
You know what I would go to?
What's that?
The Spitting Image Museum.
Okay, well, there's that, too.
Do you remember Spitting Image?
I do remember Spitting Image.
By the way, every episode is available on YouTube.
Oh, okay. I did not realize that.
Spitting Image Archive.
There's a...
And that show...
Spitting Image Preservation Society.
Yes.
That is preserving.
And by the way, they were doing jokes in, like, 1982 about how... Reagan was a blithering idiot.
Yeah.
And they pulled his brain out, and it was the size of a walnut. Then he dropped it into a bowl of walnuts. Bonzo the chimp was in bed with him and Nancy.
Yeah.
And they were just like, and then all this, you know, Thatcher was telling poor people they should eat parts of their own bodies.
Yes.
Was eating a sandwich made out of legs of coal miners. And it was like, that shit hit hard.
Yeah.
And that show was great. For the kids.
Yeah.
Spitting Image was a show created by Roger Law and Peter Fluck that was basically they took characters, like newspaper characters.
Caricatures.
Gross, you know what I mean? Like an editorial cartoonist is gross drawings, exaggerated drawings of people.
Yes.
Political figures, they turned them into puppets. Mm-hmm. They're these freaky looking things.
Yes.
Some of them are like Bob Dylan's nose is this massive thing.
Right.
That looks like
it was, you know, the exaggerated bad British teeth on some of these people all that.
Now,
and
a lot of these are like cabinet members that you don't know who the hell they are.
I'm not sure how many references you're going to get, but
you're going to, it's like you don't get, you know, Margaret Thatcher's cabinet, but they'll have Stallone.
Sure, yeah. Elton John.
Paul McCartney, he looks like a big baby. He's got like giant eyes and eyelashes and he's very twee and they take a lot of shits on wings. Anyway, look some of those up. It's great. I would go to a museum. A museum of the spinning.
What do you call
puppets.
A dog with wings?
Yeah, exactly. Linda McCartney.
Hey-o.
But, you know, that show was great. It had edge. I guess that's what people want to do is like kind of take the piss out of celebrities by seeing them in a wax form or something.
It's fun.
Even as a kid, I thought they were weird.
Yeah, you should go to that. But Niagara Falls is a good time. I like
the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum.
Okay, we didn't go to that one. I've been to that as a kid with my dad. Or I might have been to the Guinness Book of World Records Museum. There's both of those there.
As a little kid,
yeah,
we would try to go to it in Gatlinburg.
Okay, yeah.
And I would get freaked
out. That's another touristy
shithole. Gatlinburg is the Appalachian shithole. You want to talk about a...
Well...
You want to talk about a redneck choke point?
Okay, the most...
That's where all the rednecks who are migrating from Kentucky down to Tennessee or from the Ozarks over...
I'll tell you.
Or from West Virginia. It's all choke point.
If
right
you
in
want
there.
A similar go-kart track to the Niagara Speedway...
Pigeon Forge. Yeah.
No, I'm going to do you even one better. Branson, Missouri.
Oh, I've never
been
to Branson.
Missouri.
I sometimes dream of going to Branson.
You know what? If Branson, Missouri was like a car ride away, if it was a tank of gas away like Niagara Falls
sure,
is,
I'd go there.
You should go. But you should. You know what? You and your girlfriend, you and your wife would love Niagara. I was going to say, don't take your girlfriend if you're taking your wife, Corey, but you should go to Niagara Falls.
I'll take one or
the
other.
Pick one and go to Niagara Falls. Corey, my room had a heart-shaped bathtub.
Oh.
There you go. That's all you need to know.
Were you in the same room that Clark Kent took Lois Lane to?
Well, you can recreate all of your Superman 2 fantasies.
Remember that where she
at Niagara Falls,
where she shot him in the hotel room to prove he was Superman.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they humped on the bearskin rug.
I didn't have one of those.
Okay,
but yeah, but it is.
Is the bearskin rug an old thing we don't do anymore?
I think that's
old
school.
Get on people's shit.
Maybe if you went to the Poconos or something, you might
get a bearskin rug. Or you Russia.
Yeah.
You can't make a rug out of a bear anymore.
You can go to Wisconsin Dells. People will tell you
that's another great tourist trap.
Yeah.
That's a great, like, if you're driving through Wisconsin,
yeah,
that you'll start seeing, once you hit, like, past right. Madison,
yeah,
you'll start seeing the signs for the attractions at the Wisconsin Dells. Right. That's kind of a great, like...
Well, one thing I learned, Canadian freeways, very, very, very few billboards.
Sparse, yeah.
Very sparse. I must be government controlled, and they're like, you know, we don't want your fucking money.
Yeah, we like the natural beauty, eh?
Yeah. So anyway, Niagara Falls is great. There's so much shit to do there, and we were there for 2 days and barely did it, but had a great time. It was super fucking busy.
I guess if I had kids, I'd probably take them.
Yeah, but
Niagara
I think you can have. We did go to a magic show. We saw the Greg Fruin magic show. He has a Vegas style magic show in a 650 seat supper club with live tigers. Corey, I was as far away from you. Okay, there was a tiger as far away as you are from me, not on any chain or behind any fence whatsoever. Mm. I was sitting in the front row at this magic show. It was kind of crazy. So you can look up Greg Fruin. He's been on Fool Us with Penn Jillette and Teller as well. So anyway.
Is that the one with Allison Hannigan?
And Allison Hannigan is the new host, yes. Yeah. It was, who's the British guy? It was him for a long time.
I don't know. I didn't watch it with the British guy.
No, the British guy was great. I'm trying to...
Jonathan Ross.
Jonathan Ross. Wassey.
Right. Jonathan Ross is like the Letterman of...
Yeah, kind of. And Jonathan Ross was great on there, but he couldn't do the...
I think he had a spitting image puppet.
He probably did. All right. Speaking of magic, let's go on to Netflix. More Netflix goodness. Oh. And this is good.
I was thinking of the same segue. See, we've been together.
Well,
we're like a married couple.
Magic for Humans is a new show on Netflix. Six episodes.
That's not what I was
thinking.
It
has come out on Netflix. It's a guy named Justin Willman, a Canadian magician, Corey, who has a show that
the
is...
The pussy must flow from the heavens.
I'll tell you, here's what I'm going to tell you about this. Now,
that's a guy who picks your pocket but is polite about it.
One thing, here's what I'm going to do. First of all, I'm highly recommending Justin Willman's show, Magic for Humans. It's six half hours. It's on Netflix. Now, look, I'm a big magic fan, so I'll watch anything magic. You don't have to be a magic fan to enjoy this. It is more of a comedy show than a magic show, even though it's all magic. It's very much sort of a man on the street sort of candid camera vibe to it. It's actually produced by... Tim Heidecker's production company.
Well, I'm out.
Well, no.
Oh.
Guys who do Nathan For You. Oh, Nathan For You, one of the greatest shows, shows on television.
I love that show.
This is very similar in a vibe to Nathan For You. And Justin's very likable. He doesn't come... He's not like David Blaine where he's like, I've got superpowers and I'm going to prove this to you and I'm superhuman. It's Justin being funny and doing some really good magic. And is some of it bullshit? Yeah, some of it's bullshit. Some of it is set up in advance, almost certainly, because it's a little too amazing at times. But they really did a great job. It was really funny. Magic for Humans on Netflix. Go watch that. Let's not have him in the unemployment line with Michelle Wolf.
I'm sure he'll be there any minute.
Although Willman probably works a lot cheaper than Joel McHale does.
Okay, let me.
But you should watch Magic for Humans.
So
it's really good.
David Blaine, Chris Angel.
Yes. Those guys.
Name another magician. Okay.
So those are guys you're not going to like.
The magician.
You would not like those guys. I wouldn't recommend you watch those, but I am recommending you watch Justin Willman.
But I'm just asking, like, okay, who turns out fewer stars than Magic?
Well, you could say that Magic is full of endearing stars who have had decade-long careers.
Yeah, but there's not a lot of new turnover.
Well, that...
Because all those guys that are on Fool Me...
Fool Us.
Or whatever, Fool Us. These guys come on and Fool Us and try and do tricks for Penn and Teller.
Okay.
You never fucking hear from a soul of them ever again.
The guys that go on
Ventriloquism,
America's
has
Got Talent,
a better success.
No.
At turning out.
No, you're wrong. Now you're wrong.
Who? When's
because
the last new magic?
The goal
star?
For a magician is to get a Vegas show, and not unlike Terry Fedor and the ventriloquist, they get Vegas showrooms. You know, Greg Fruin's got his in Niagara Falls, and so magicians do.
Here's the thing about show business. There's only so many slots.
Okay.
How many famous reggae musicians?
Let's see. Bob Marley. I'm going to give you another one.
And then Ziggy Marley.
I'm going to give you Ziggy Marley.
Yeah.
And then I think there's the Marley family.
We about done.
And then there's...
And then like the guys that were in, that played with Bob Marley.
The Wailers.
The Wailers, like Sonny or whatever. That's about, we're about done, right?
That, some, by the way...
Okay, there's some
thing... They are the kings of the Hartford music scene.
Oh, my.
That's a deep reference.
There you go. That is a deep cut. I'm just saying that there are only... certain cultural...
Yes. Magicians...
There are only like three slots for magicians...
There's the tippity top of magic,
that America will tolerate at any one time.
Okay.
There are only like two ventriloquists allowed at any one time.
I don't think you're wrong.
Comedians have about 40 slots...
They do,
...of people that are
successful. You're correct,
Like really, over.
Well, what about... Superstars.
Comedy has a couple hundred. Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
I kind of recognize that name. And then about 30 to 40 famous celebrity comedians.
Well, let's name famous magicians. David Copperfield.
Uh-huh.
Penn and Teller.
Uh-huh. Okay. I want
Chris
you to,
Angel,
I,
David right. Blaine. That's your Mount Rushmore now.
You obviously know more magicians.
Okay. But I mean, who do you know as a guy who's not into magic?
All right.
Aside from the names I just gave you.
Lance Burton.
Okay, Lance Burton has retired from his Vegas show.
Okay.
So he is still famous, but again, did a Vegas show for a long time. I'll give you another guy, you know, Amazing Jonathan.
Oh, I've worked with
him. You've opened for Amazing Jonathan.
I consider Amazing Jonathan more of a comedian who does a magic act.
Fair enough.
Than a, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because his gimmicks are all fucked.
Well,
they're all ghosts.
Amazing Jonathan's goal is to make you laugh, not to amaze you.
He's kind of
ironically enough,
a prop comedian that uses a framework
of
magic.
Justin Willman is more of a real magician than Amazing Jonathan, but his goal is also to make you laugh.
I'm just saying that there's only so many magicians that are allowed to be famous.
Okay, sure.
I feel like their slots have filled up.
Well, Justin Willman is a young guy.
And they
guy.
Don't replace them very often.
Mm.
Like Chris Angel and David Blaine have been... 20 years now.
I know. Yeah.
And
there
isn't like a new guy that comes along.
Well,
once in a while you'll see an ad for like five hilarious magicians, and they're all guys that look like Bill Nye, or they've got like blonde, you know what I mean? They got like Thomas Dolby hair.
Yeah, there's those guys.
You know what I mean? They're all
They're
like, I'm a hip, cool nerd doing magic and science. But those guys never break. Okay, well, Bill Nye, speaking of which, there's only one fucking spot at a time for kids science entertainer.
Well, you could have Adam Savage if you want to say that.
Why don't you all bite me with your Beekman's world? But what I'm saying is...
Where's the line start to blow, Corey? Where are you going to be? Did you go over to the Glow nightclub, the old gay bar?
I'll be riding on the Hornblower.
The new Bobcat Bonnies.
I'll be at the Hornblower in Niagara Falls. You can all line up and start second. If you could name me more than one.
Why is the horn blower a sexual?
Because it's got the word blow in it.
And a horn.
And I'm simple. Look, I'm just saying, you had your Mr. Fucking Wizard, then you had your Bill Nye.
Okay.
There's a limited number of slots for Neil deGrasse Tyson is like the...
You should watch Magic for Humans and get back with me.
Neil deGrasse Tyson's the science guy for who? I don't know exactly, but he's
like millennial hipsters or something.
I guess.
Yeah.
He's got to go on and tell Joe Rogan how satellites work every couple months.
No, Joe Rogan needs to talk to.
Joe needs a lot of extra.
Joe needs to know how things.
Joe has these, you know what's great is he has these like meathead UFC guys that are into like flat earth.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they, why do those guys all fall for conspiracy?
Cuz they're not that I mean it's
Here's
it's,
what I okay. Joe Rogan is what I've always described Joe Rogan as, a dumb guy's idea of a smart guy.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Now, I think Joe is smart, but he's not...
He's not learned.
He's
That's the difference
He's read a lot, and he's taught himself stuff, but he's not an intellectual.
But I mean, the problem with teaching yourself
But dumb guys think Joe Rogan's brilliant.
Well, I mean, it's again, the world we live in, the information, the information age as we're in, everything the true in the world is available at your fingertips 24 hours a day whenever you want it. Right. All the bullshit that's ever existed in the world is at your fingertips 24 hours a day whenever you want it. So you can't sit there and, you know, there is no, it is still up to the person to believe what they want to believe. Because if the fact that something is just written in black and white on a website does not make it true. And that's the problem with people is when you start learning about whatever secret society or scientific principle that you want to learn about, you're going to get all of the more. In fact, there's way more misinformation than information. And sometimes it is the quantity of what is out there. And, you know, you talk about the Kennedy assassination. The quantity for decades was more about the fact that, you know, three guys triangulated shots against Kennedy. And the volume of it is, I think, for the reason why people believe what they want to believe. And I think what you're talking about,
But with assassinations.
Yeah.
And we've argued this point many times on your show. But with assassinations, there is at least a murder case in which someone was killed and then there's a motive behind it.
Yeah.
Right? Or there's a reason to sort of question that.
Okay.
The people that are like, we faked the moon landing.
Yeah.
There's no goddamned... No one's ever given me a valid motive why we needed to go to the extent of faking the moon landing.
Corey, it's the same reason everything is happening. It's the Russians.
Right.
It's the Russians.
Well, in the regards that we were actually in a competitive Cold War footing with the Russians in terms of space exploration, but then the Russians never launched a moon mission.
Why is Trump in bed with the Russians?
Well,
why is everybody in with the Russians? It's the Russians, the Russians,
okay,
the Russians.
But there's an actual thing that is demonstrable.
Right.
Paul Manafort worked for Viktor Yanushenko, who was the Ukrainian strongman that was the preferred dictator of Vladimir Putin, and then he was ousted.
Well, here's what I want to but the point is that it's human psychology, meaning there is the boogeyman. And if you were a 6-year-old kid and you would say the boogeyman made you do this, the boogeyman made you do this.
No,
adults don't believe in the boogeyman, but they do believe in the Russians.
But the Trump,
and that's why the moon landing was faked is because of the Russians.
Well, but the Trump Russian thing has actual legitimate reason. Okay. That is
Russia is a real thing that exists.
Yeah.
And therefore, it's not completely made up.
Vladimir Putin he first of all thinks that the destruction of the Soviet Union was a tragedy. He wants to reclaim all of the former Soviet properties into Russia.
Yeah.
He's an old guard KGB patriot. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of these, there are reasons behind all this shit.
Okay. But I'm saying the motive, when you talk about motive for things, the Russians is the motive. And what the Russians means is it's the boogeyman. There is you're getting into specifics of Paul Manafort, but everything's the Russians. Everything, the Facebook,
Flat Earth.
Well.
Why? Okay. I have a theory why I think the people who subscribe to the Flat Earth, who they are.
Okay.
And why they do it.
Yeah.
But what would be the benefit to NASA to fake picture, before there were computers, fake pictures of the Earth from the moon or from outer space?
So this goes into the flat Earth, because if the moon landing is fake, then those pictures of Earth are fake.
Right.
and therefore the earth is flat.
What is the benefit?
So you can't say the earth, people will say the earth is round because we went to the moon and took photos of it. And then people are going to say, well, no, the moon landing's fake, so the earth is flat.
Well, the moon
so
is,
everything hinges on the moon landing.
We went to the moon because you can. There are fucking telemetry mirrors on the moon that you can look up the data and look at the numbers and shoot a light from a telegraphy and hit the mirrors that are in the places that NASA said they were. But anyway.
Well, I think, I don't know what your reason is going to be, but I would say, same thing to the Russians.
But what is the motivation behind the flat fucking earth? Why people
because
would even
people
think that
want to have mystery. People want to believe in something beyond what is known. And whether it be a flat earth, whether it be Russian conspiracies, whether it be a man in the sky that controls ourselves, people want to believe things other than what they can see and what they know. All right. And when you say we know something 100%, that's only pushing certain people and not everybody to think in the opposite direction.
This is not... Okay, I don't want to get into the whole Russian thing.
Yes.
But... there are practical, actual, realistic things about, like, what was the one item?
Yeah.
This is not made up. This is factual.
Okay.
On the GOP convention platform.
I don't know.
That the Trump organization wanted.
I have no idea.
And when you are the nominee, you can come in and say, we want this, this, and this on the official platform.
Okay.
The Trump organization argued for, while Paul Manafort was a campaign manager.
Yes.
Argued for one issue.
Okay. I don't know. Just tell us.
The removal of the Russian sanctions.
Okay.
And that
there
sound,
you go.
When I say it like that,
that's
it
fine.
Sounds like a conspiracy
no,
thing,
but that's
but
fine.
Truthful.
But that's called policy. That's not
but why,
explaining.
But what's the benefit
but I'm saying,
of that policy?
What I'm saying is you can't blame all of everything in the world on the Russians.
No, but this. That's
but
not,
I mean,
that's
but Trump is a bad guy because of the Russians
Trump,
and the Russians, the Russian Russians.
People didn't.
I'm not talking about.
By the way, people didn't vote for Trump just because of the Russians.
I don't want to do Trump's.
I know. I'm saying. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that's the reasoning.
Right.
I'm also not going to sit here and tell you that Hillary Clinton didn't have her own massive problems and people didn't choose not to come out and vote because they didn't like her.
Right.
That's absolutely true. But there is a you can't dismiss that. The fucking flat earth. Why would anyone believe that?
Well, again, you asked me about the moon landing, and that's why I brought up Russia, because they're the Russians and they're evil and they will always be evil.
They had
and
a
we
space program
never,
and they were competitive.
Yeah, and they were competitive with us. And then, yeah, there was a Cold War.
Right. Now, if the Chinese,
there
the way,
is
we,
a,
people go, why didn't we go back to the moon?
Yeah.
Well, if the Chinese were trying to land on the moon, we'd be there next week.
First of all, everyone should go to the moon right now.
Now,
please go. If
John,
you can go,
I wish
go.
John Tenney was here.
Elon Musk should go.
I hear there's an amazing go-kart track on the moon.
I'm there.
Yeah. It's
well,
great.
The lower gravity, you could go very...
Exactly.
Do you imagine how fast you could go?
You know, it's crazy. They recreated the Beast from King's Island on the moon.
Oh,
it's a wood,
well, now I'm going.
The first wooden roller coaster track on the moon.
You can...
Anyway, you couldn't have a roller
coaster. By the way, I played...
By the way, how would a roller coaster work in one-third Earth gravity?
It would just... I think it would be less effective. I think you want more gravity.
Do you want more gravity?
I think you want more gravity.
Yeah, because
then you would go faster down a hill with more gravity.
Would you even not even move very far?
But if you were going to be propelled like a go-kart, you would actually go faster.
Right.
But I think a roller coaster works. By the way.
I guess I got this because Joe Rogan was like showing footage of like, look at these guys on the moon. Like they see, like they're hopping and it looks like they're being jerked on a
cable. I can't explain why Joe Rogan's not that
he's
bright.
He's not bright.
But he's not.
I think the flat earth. Now notice who's behind the flat earth.
Yeah.
Well, who do you hear talking about flat earth? Does Tom McCarthy, who we had on a few weeks ago,
I don't know.
Talk about flat earth?
Probably not.
Do suburban white dads with mortgages talk about flat earth?
Are you making this a racial issue, Corey?
I'm saying... Do women with university degrees talk about flat earth?
Who's
hip hop artists talk about?
Oh, flat earth. Is it hip hop artists? I don't even know.
No, I'm saying black guys.
Black guys are into flat earth?
Athletes.
Athletes?
Like football players.
Huh.
There was a guy on Hard Knocks, like a lineman, when the Rams were on Hard Knocks, who thought that there were no such thing as dinosaurs, that was a conspiracy. That was bullshit.
I can tell you from the miniature golf course I was on last weekend.
Yeah.
The dinosaurs.
That we made up dinosaurs. I mean, you know, I don't know. This is a whole question.
It's a whole, I mean,
why
but,
people
but I mean,
but
because, and I've said.
I think that the reason that it is generally poorer people and less educated people, yeah, and in certain very specific cases, African Americans,
yeah,
that believe or foster this flat Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Gerard Carmichael didn't think we went to the moon.
Okay.
And I think it's because they just don't trust.
Well, there's that, sure.
Anything the government says.
But that is psychological.
There's an institutional level of distrust that comes from the cops being
against them. The distrust is not specific to anything anybody does. It's psychological. Change out the names,
whether
it be Russia or whatever, whether it be the police or whatever. It is psychological that whoever is in power, people are going to be skeptical of. That's human psychology. And it's not specific to the actions of one group over another, even though you can give examples of, you know, people will blame everything on Russia. You can give us specifics about Russian collusion, but one specific example of Russian collusion does not prove that everything is Russian collusion.
The exact same people that refuse to think that Trump, who literally has loans and deals with Russian mm-hmm. oligarchs,
right,
and had guys like Carter Page, who was a lobbyist for Rosneft,
yeah,
on his campaign. They will refuse to see those connections, but then they'll be like, but Hillary Clinton and her emails.
Well, that's what,
you know what I mean? They're willing to believe one or the other.
That is people.
Because conspiracies reflect your own beliefs and your own paranoia.
The tribalism of we're going to believe in this. But I mean, that's also why if you're going to be on one side or another, there is no, you shouldn't be a fair, honest person won't take sides.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if you're going to be critical of Trump, right, then, or if you're going to be critical of Hillary, you have to be critical of Trump.
Did Bill Clinton use the Arkansas State Police and then later the Secret Service to cover up the affairs he was having with
Trump? Yeah.
Pretty sure that happened.
Yeah.
Fairly certain that can be,
yeah,
if not proven, then the evidence is fairly coherent. What's the word? Convincing.
Okay.
Right.
Sure.
Did Bill Clinton have Vince Foster rubbed out and kill hundreds of people? You know what I mean? That's the thing. People will always go from one thing.
Sure.
I think I'm saying with the Russian thing, there is smoke. Does that mean that the fire meant that the reason that Donald Trump won was Russia?
Well,
no.
I mean,
but that doesn't mean there isn't a connection.
Well, I mean, did Russia fix the election for Donald Trump? I think the answer is no. Did they try? I think some people inside Russia tried.
The question,
but it doesn't mean that it fixed. Right. And it
the question isn't even
Kennedy wasn't shot by all the people who would have wanted Kennedy to be murdered.
Well,
and there's absolute proof that people wanted Kennedy gone.
But there's no proof
that anyone else shot him besides Lee Harvey Oswald.
Well, I know you've said this,
but there is no proof of anyone else.
I know.
But again, motive isn't proof.
You are a didactic jerk off that thinks that Gerald Posner is the authority figure.
Why do you get on Gerald?
No, because the two guys that wrote books that support the Oswald.
The two guys. There's dozens of guys.
Whatever. But you, that's what you choose as your.
But Corey, that's science.
Okay.
The science does not support anyone than Oswald.
Why were those files still not released?
They've released thousands and thousands, tens, hundreds of thousands of documents have been declassified about the Kennedy assassination.
Right. Anyway.
You're going to choose to believe. Listen, Corey.
Why did RFK had a bullet wound in the back of his head?
You choose to believe. And for some people, their religion, if you want that to be your religion, and if you want flat Earth to be your religion, who can tell you that? I mean, you can't scientifically prove
that God exists,
and that's faith.
That's the
definition of faith.
Oh, God. I had a guy. Okay. A friend of mine was a editor for Cream. Right. He's written for Rolling Stone, all these magazines.
Okay.
Bill Holdship. He worked at the Metro Times when I was there. Great guy. Great music writer. Knows mm-hmm. everybody in the business. Somebody, he's from up north.
Yeah.
Where he grew up. And he said some guy private messaged him and was like, you know, because he's a big Beatles guy. So he said something about George Harrison.
Yeah.
And the guy goes, I read your George Harrison thing, and I think it's sad that he's in hell now because he believed all that Hindu bullshit.
Yes.
And I don't know if George ever embraced Jesus and went to him.
Yeah.
Now, George Harrison was like as spiritual a guy as ever walked the earth.
Yes.
He wrote the music, he wanted to meet. I really want to meet you, my sweet Lord. believed in, embraced a variety of spirituality.
Well, yeah, he was looking. He was constantly looking for.
He was not a faith. Devout Buddhist or Hindu, but he.
Well, he was Hare Krishna for a time. He was
right,
you
but
know,
he wasn't any of
yeah.
those things right. as his soul.
No,
he was a spiritual guy.
Yes,
spiritual seeker.
Sure,
and as thoughtful a spiritual seeker as anybody's ever.
Yeah,
but he's in hell now because he didn't believe.
Well,
what this
that's...
guy from the thumb. Felt his definition of religion is.
Well, I mean, if you're going to start with faith, then there is no argument.
Now there
faith
are,
requires no evidence.
In the history.
So anyone that's trying, but if you were an actual Christian or what I'm saying, you or the listener or anyone, mm-hmm. if you want to believe in G, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But don't try to prove it to me scientifically sure. because you'll fail.
Well,
and I don't believe in anything.
Sure.
And I'm fine with that. And I sleep fine at night. And if you don't,
now,
that's...
My response to that guy is that, is he aware that Hinduism predates Buddhism?
Okay.
Which predates Judaism. Which predates Christianity.
Yeah.
So Jesus, essentially, and if you look at Krishna, if you look at all these origin stories, right? Buddha and Krishna, they all have somewhat similar origin stories...
Okay.
Or points of convergence. And Jesus was basically riffing on their... And then Buddha was 500 years before Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And literally, Jesus was riffing on their material. Like the Beatles took
sure. well,
from
I mean,
Solomon Burke
all right,
or Little Richard. I'm just saying it's a riff.
Well, it is. But, I mean, look, they're all full of shit.
I know.
They're not going to admit they're all full of shit, but they're all
but
full of shit. And,
the illogic
but,
of believing,
but, I mean...
The illogic that goes, these other faiths were all... Okay.
Well...
More non-Christians than Christians have lived on the earth throughout the entirety of human history.
Yes.
So heaven is going to be a gated community where hundreds of millions of souls are not allowed.
Well, you know, here's the thing about religion and faith and all that stuff.
Yeah.
As much as we know that those things aren't true, and the more scientific knowledge, again, it's human psychology. People want to believe in something.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't kid ourselves into, we're going to shut these guys down, and they're not going to believe in dumb stuff anymore.
Well,
that's making an assumption about human beings that you can't make. Because people will believe in dumb stuff. And will they believe in the dumb... You know, people don't believe in the dumb stuff they used to believe in, but they just believe in new dumb stuff. You know, they're not replacing dumb stuff with science. They're not replacing dumb stuff with things that are provable and evidentiary.
No.
They're replacing it with new dumb stuff.
People aren't getting any smarter.
No.
Which is why...
We're kidding ourselves.
Why the world is a...
Well, and that's why you can't...
It's an unending veil of misery for someone who has a brain.
Well, will we ever end, you know, the tribalism? I mean, you know...
No.
Politically, Americans have never been more similar and never hated each other more.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of unbelievable. And, you know, there
are
people...
Well, I think
who
hated each other more during the Civil War. But
I
had another guy go, if they impeach Trump, there's going to be a Civil War.
Okay.
And I was like, you.
I ain't fighting in that.
I'm like, you are aware that Trump was outvoted in the popular vote by 3 million.
Well.
And like some absurd number, like 57% right. didn't vote.
Yeah.
So your estimation of his support
is
a little.
It's people, you know, the smart people.
And also the guys who voted for Trump. How did the last Civil War that you.
Well, I think we're almost to the point here. I think one of the problems again of the information age is that, you know, the dumb people are smart.
Well,
we've empowered dumb people and we've given people what they lacked before.
You know,
we've now given them in the form of a machine.
Right.
And now that's unfortunate.
You know, we give the Turing test just to determine if something's a bot or a human.
Okay.
Right. Based named after Alan Turing.
Yeah.
But there's no ability to determine if a human is smart enough to know what their information is. Like,
they don't.
I think having unlimited access to information doesn't make anybody smart.
No, that's what I mean. You're giving them unlimited access to misinformation.
Because intelligence isn't actually...
Well, yeah.
isn't merely, there's only, that's only one coefficient of intelligence.
Sure.
Is your ability to retain information.
Yeah.
Which is important.
Yeah.
But your ability to absorb, process, and analyze that information is every bit as important, which I say to people all the fucking time when they go, why do I need a movie critic?
Well,
I can tell you what's good.
You know,
fuck you.
I always say that I only, I don't know a smart person that watches Jeopardy.
I do.
Jeopardy is watched by dumb people.
I don't know about that. I watch
it. It's dumb people thinking they're smart. That's what Jeopardy is.
I don't think.
Because Jeopardy is trivial knowledge. It's not intelligence.
I don't think that's entirely fair. I think people don't watch Jeopardy.
I think most people that watch Jeopardy are dumb.
You don't watch Jeopardy.
I don't watch Jeopardy.
Because you, God forbid, would think for one nanosecond you're not the smartest person in the world.
But I don't believe that what Jeopardy does is a test of intelligence. It's a test of an ability to recall knowledge. And maybe there are people that intelligent people that have that trait more than dumb people, but I don't feel like my ability to sit on a couch and recall that
first of all,
makes me smart.
That's not true. Jeopardy involves contextual clues.
Yeah, it does.
You have to read the...
There is puzzle solving involved on some level.
You have to understand, you have to have reading comprehension.
Yes.
Instantaneously.
Yeah.
You have to read the clue or hear the clue read.
Yes.
Understand the components of the clue.
Okay.
Understand the context of the components of the clue.
Okay.
So if they're like making a joke or an allusion or a, you know...
Yes.
Which they often do in the Jeopardy questions. You have to synthesize all of that information.
Okay.
And combine the facts that you have to go... Oh, Walt Whitman wrote Leaves of Grass, so therefore, when they say, this poet mowed the competition down.
No, okay.
You know, whatever.
All right, I
in the
duly noted.
The Jeopardy question.
Duly noted.
Jeopardy is not just rote.
I agree with everything you just said, and I'm going to go back to my original hypothesis. It is only watched by dumb people. I agree with. And here's why. Because the people watching the show can't answer the fucking questions anyway.
Oh, I can.
I agree with you. But you're a smart person.
I should take the Jeopardy test.
No. I mean, look, if you want to win money and you think that's the way to do it, I think go ahead and watch Jeopardy. But, I mean, they've got bots that can beat the people now on Jeopardy.
Well, they do have computers, yes.
It's not a thing.
You're trying to tell me that Buzzy, the winner of the last Tournament of Champions, did you see that guy? Hold on, you got to look him up.
I don't care. Buzzy on Jeopardy.
Look up Buzzy.
I got to go, and we got more TV to read.
It's like Elvis Costello had a baby with Marvin Hamlisch.
Buzzy from Jeopardy.
Look up Buzzy.
B-U-Z-Z-Y?
Yeah. First of all, who's been named Buzzy in the last 50 years?
Buzzy on Jeopardy. All right. Well,
look at this fucking guy.
Buzzy Cohen.
Yeah, Buzzy Cohen.
Right.
Doesn't he look like he
gave... looks like Waldo.
Don't you feel like McCarthy called him into the HUAC committee?
I think Buzzy and Michelle Wolf should have a shot. That's what I think. And they can be the Jeopardy all-time champion.
It would be like if Clark Kent had a baby with a troll. Donald.
Let's go. Let's continue on our television thing and we're going to get out of here. Because I got a couple quick things.
All right.
Sharp Objects I talked about on HBO that ended this week. A lot of scuttlebutt about that. A lot of talk. This became the show of the summer for a lot of people who like that. This is a mini series, so there's not going to be another season. It's based on a book by, I forget the lady's name, but she wrote Gone Girl. And this is also a thriller. Amy Adams stars, I talked about it a few weeks ago. It wrapped up this week, 8 episodes. I thought it ended very well. I thought they did a really good job with it. It is a murder mystery. I'm trying to think if this is...
Now, I think murder mysteries are for dumb people.
Well,
they want to think they're smart.
Well, again... But I don't feel like people hold them out as this is smart. I think people that watch Jeopardy hold themselves out as smarter than others. But anyway, back to Sharp Objects.
All right, let's both
Sharp Objects.
Let's both take the Jeopardy test. There,
I'll take the Jeopardy test against you. I don't give a shit.
Do it.
Find a Jeopardy test. We'll both take it.
I'll refute.
Well, I think we need a third party. I think we need an independent third party to find a test for us to both take.
All right.
Okay, but here's the thing. Sharp Objects, you should watch. It ended well. I thought that it did slow down in the middle. I thought it did sag. I think one of the things that it did great is they did a really good job of creating the small town in Missouri, Wingate, Missouri. And it was very believable. The small town sheriff, Patricia Clarkson, who's the rich lady that owns the pig farm.
Here's the thing about...
They were all believable characters, and it worked.
Here's my thing about these kind of things.
Yeah.
I think we play... Wasn't there a milk through the nose in Wind Gap, Missouri? Wasn't there a was there a funny bone down there?
I don't believe I've ever played there. I believe it's a fictional small town.
I'm just saying.
Yes.
Doing comedy is like one of the many reasons I fell out of love with doing comedy.
Yeah.
Is that you are basically on a road trip to Wind Gap, Missouri every weekend.
Well, this is
I don't want to watch television. Basically, it's set in small towns.
This is,
I don't like small towns.
All right. Jesus Christ.
What?
Corey's got a reason about everything. You know what you should not watch?
You know what?
You shouldn't watch this because the Russians colluded and they invaded Wind Gap.
There you go.
It's on the sixth episode. It's a big turn, Corey. Mm-hmm. Listen, here's the thing.
Well, you know, also the Russia is a false flag to cover up
Russia.
Hillary Clinton.
There's no Russians.
That's also a dumb conspiracy.
There's no Russians in Sharp Objects.
No.
It's a story.
I love Amy Adams.
Amy Adams is great. It's a great show. You should watch it. Is it pulpy in a way that some people won't like? Because
I don't know if this has become.
It is for girls on some level.
I don't know if this has become clear over the course of 500 episodes, but you and I have not exactly the same taste.
Okay.
And I often find murder mysteries and this kind of stuff to be tedious.
I love it.
Can't stand it.
Corey can review anything. Corey can review absolutely anything that's ever happened.
But
he knows exactly what something is before he sees it.
I generally don't care for the genre. Not that I can't review it,
have you ever seen a murder mystery that you liked? Could you name one?
Oh, sure I could.
Okay.
I'm sure.
Well, why would you think this is not that and more of what you don't like about murder mysteries?
I am uninterested in the motivations of killers.
Okay.
As a basic core of my personality.
Okay.
I find that women like true crime.
Okay.
Because they're afraid of being murdered. I have a basic moral code.
Yes.
Which determined for me that murder is not
a good
thing.
Don't watch it. I'm speaking.
So I'm not fascinated
by it. I'm speaking to more people than you right now.
I'm just telling you why I don't care.
Okay, but maybe. But you do you like film?
I'll watch it.
Do you like to watch talented directors and actors with a budget making a piece of art that is well done?
You don't like pickles.
I don't like pickles.
I could have the best dill pickle ever made.
Yeah.
I could have an artisan pickle.
Sure.
That's an insanely good pickle.
Yes.
You're still not going to eat it.
I'm not going to eat it, sure.
I'm the same fucking way with murder television.
Fine. We know that.
All right.
Okay. Can I talk?
I'm sure this
is fine.
All right.
All right. I'm no longer speaking to Corey about this show.
You
can sit here and comment. I'm going to talk to the audience.
All right, go ahead.
If you are somebody that's not named Corey Hall, you should watch this show. If you didn't finish it out, some people watched a couple of them and got bored with it. The ending was very satisfying, I thought. It is not supernatural, as some of these shows get. This was not Twin Peaks. This was not...
That's not even good.
This was not American Horror Story, and as much as people like those, and I've liked some of those and disliked some of those.
No.
It is not that.
If you think Jeopardy is not watched by smart people, I would contend that Twin Peaks...
Okay.
Appeals to the vanity of hipsters who think they're watching something
smart. Maybe
it
is. I did not get into the new Twin Peaks. I saw enough of the old one to know I probably wasn't going to be into the new one. But this does have, it is similar to those in some way, but it also feels a lot more real, even though it's not real. Great acting. The girl that plays the little sister in this, I forget her name. She's an Australian actress, Amy Adams' little sister in this.
Why are all her actors imported?
They're all Australian. In fact, I'm going to talk about the next thing that I have to talk about, which has an Australian actress in it. I don't know. All the leading men are from England and all the leading women are from Australia. I have no idea why.
We've got a gap.
We have.
We need...
Yes.
Where are the Carl Maldens or Walter Matthaus of today?
That's a good goddamn question.
You know what I mean? Palookas don't go into fucking show business.
It's just not the thing, or they're not getting the breaks. It's unfortunate. But Sharp Objects, I thought, ended really well. They did a great job with it. It is a mystery. Do you see the ending? You know, it's not one of those that, you know, some things can be too unpredictable. You know, sometimes things are a little more satisfying.
The surprise comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, it can't be. I think sometimes those are unsatisfying because you never had a chance to figure out who did it. Mm-hmm. And I think in this one, it's not. I think this is a mystery that's not necessarily about who did it. It's really more about Amy Adams and what she's going through.
Right.
Which, because she is an alcoholic who cuts herself. is the story. No, but Corey, don't. There's no need for Corey to watch this. We know that, but it's okay.
It's the,
but you also hold yourself out as a critic.
It's the detective.
You also hold yourself out as a critic who shouldn't be biased against certain genres. That doesn't make you a good critic.
It's the detective that's looking for the mysteries inside herself.
Well, I mean, that's fair. Fine.
That fucking genre.
Fine. It's fine, Corey.
I love Amy Adams. I'll watch it.
It's fine.
I tried to watch it and didn't get into it.
Well, it's 8 hours of a thing that... Could you have made a 2-hour movie of this? Yeah, maybe. And it's 8 hours, but, you know, it's good. It's real good. I'll watch
all
it.
Right.
All right. One final, here's the dumbest thing you'll see all week. The Package on Netflix. Do you know what this is?
No.
This is a comedy about a bunch of teens.
Okay.
And they get their spring break, so they decide they're going to go on a hiking trip. It's 3 guys, 2 girls.
And then they punch each other in the nuts.
Well, no.
Oh.
The Package refers to the fact that one of the guys buys a really sharp knife to go on this hunting trip. And after having a couple of beers, and I think they drink a bottle of rum,
mm-hmm.
Kid goes out in the woods, and he's playing with his knife while he's urinating in the woods, and he cuts his own penis off, Corey. And the hijinks start from there, Corey. So imagine The Hangover, but with teenagers.
Okay.
And how do we get a teenage boy and his severed penis back to society? Now, I know you're going to say, Corey, that, you know, you're really not going to be into all of these other movies about teenage boys getting their penises cut off, that it's been done, it's rote, and it's predictable. I understand that. I understand that as a criticism, Corey. I understand you're never going to like a movie that's like this, Corey. But if you ever wanted to watch, no. What if I told you this movie was produced by the guys who did Workaholics, Corey? Would that make you want to watch this?
Not really. not helping.
No, this is one of the dumbest things you'll see. It is out there as a wild, uncensored, sure, R-rated teenage comedy about kids lost in the woods who are trying to get laid, and one guy cuts his own penis off.
Well, yeah, okay.
And it's exactly that.
I mean, this happened on my 8th grade trip,
yeah,
class trip, so yeah, a guy cut his wang off.
They took 83 minutes and made it feel like 5 hours. I'm not sure what sort of scientific Bill Nye shit that was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what sort of...
Bill.
I'm not sure what some
Bill
sort
Nye,
of...
the science guy.
I'm not sure if... what's his name can explain that? Who's the black guy I'm thinking of?
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
I'm not sure Neil deGrasse Tyson can make it feel...
Well, sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I should have guessed the black guy. Antonio Fargas. Fred the Hammer Williams.
You going? Leon Spinks once explained that.
Leon Spinks.
My mic stopped working.
Is Leon still alive?
Yes, Leon's dead. But here's the thing. How about Geraldine Viswanathan, Corey? How about her?
I have no idea.
That's it. Okay. Australians have so dominated show business that now our Indian actresses are from Australia,
oh,
Corey.
Jesus Christ.
That's how bad it's gotten. But Corey,
remember how they're like, did they stop doing that where every couple years they go, this Bollywood actress?
Well, she's not Bollywood. She's Australian.
I know.
Ashwari
Rai.
Yes. Yeah.
The most beautiful woman,
in the world.
And in America goes,
yeah, no.
And no one gives a shit.
Geraldine Viswanathan. Corey. I'm talking about The Package. You don't seem interested, but you loved her in Blockers.
Oh, fuck. I didn't see Blockers.
She's also one of the teens in Blockers, so she's having quite a 2018
like,
here.
Why didn't we go see them?
She's in...
I saw
Blockers.
Why didn't we go see The Meg?
We didn't see The Meg.
I want to know.
Well, maybe we will.
Look.
I'll rent it. But she's actually very good, Geraldine Viswanathan. She's one of the girls in this.
Geraldine,
and you
the
should
name
see
rolls
her
off the tongue.
Well, she's Australian actress. She gained attention in the role of Kayla in the 2018 film Blockers as the film's breakout star. And it was good though. She's a good actress in really, really bad movies. No, I'll tell you.
Which parent group in Blockers
fine
reflected the ethnicity of Geraldine?
Go ahead. Well, do you know who the leads?
No,
who were the leads?
Because she's
who were the leads?
John Cena.
Yeah, and the guy, the other guy you don't like.
Helms?
Oh, no.
Ike Barinholtz?
Ike Barinholtz.
Stop making him a thing!
And Ike Barinholtz.
He's got another movie coming
or
out.
Or was she the daughter of, what's his name's wife? Judd's wife.
I don't know, because in Hollywood,
Judd Apatow's wife.
No children came out of
I'll
someone's
tell you
actual
who she
vagina.
Was. Okay.
They're all adopted. They're all half a lesbian.
Geraldine Viswanathan.
Yeah.
In the film Blockers. Is the daughter of John Cena, who has an Indian wife. There you go.
Okay, fine. All right. But she did, the wife isn't involved in the hijinks.
No, not in Blockers. She stays at home.
All right.
In also,
well, I wouldn't in, see in the tra- she's not in the trailer.
In well, I'm she's like, in it for 2 seconds.
Oh, okay.
In what were we talking about? In the package, she has a twin brother who's actually a Mexican guy.
Sure.
But he's brown, and so they're related.
Well, but that's... Oh, my dad. Okay, my dad's in the hospital.
We gotta go.
My dad's in the hospital.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there with him the other day, and he's switching back and forth between the Casino,
yeah,
which he's seen 800 times, and it's dubbed, so it's like,
right,
you silly snake, you stinking asshole.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just like...
This, he's watching this on USA
oh,
or
Oh, yeah, it's
FX
like just, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
AMC.
Middle of the afternoon. And they just bleep that thing into oblivion. You yeah. don't even recognize what's going on. Although Jew, they let through every time he said, called him a Jew.
Jew?
And, yeah, Jew was not bleeped or whatever.
Interesting.
But, anyway, he's switching back and forth to this, and he switches over to TMC.
Yeah.
TCM. And it's like, and I go, what's this movie, Danny? He goes, Cheyenne Autumn. Like, my dad can remember every Western. You know what I mean? Like, any war movie or Western.
Sure, yeah.
That's ever been made. Yeah. My dad knows who's in it.
Right.
And it was like Ricardo Montalban and Sal Mineo were playing Cherokee.
Yeah, that's kind of what they did.
So
it's
just kind of like anybody faintly ethnic, you're a Native
well,
American.
Well, that's the spaghetti Western.
Also, Carl Malden was in that.
Yeah, of course.
As a Swede, which made sense.
All right. Let's say goodbye.
Hold on. We didn't even talk about Disenchanted.
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about Disenchanted. Is it Disenchantment or Disenchanted?
Is it Disenchantment? Is that
I think it
is?
Might be. I think it's Disenchanted.
All right. Should we wait to watch more of these?
How many have you watched?
I watched one and a half.
All right. I've watched one, and I will tell you, if you like The Simpsons or Futurama,
yeah,
I think you'll actually laugh at this a couple times. That's my review. It's a Disenchantment.
Yeah.
Not Disenchanted.
Yeah, it's the latest Matt Groening joint.
Yes. And he's using some of the writers and producers of The Simpsons and those other shows.
The feeling I have kind of... Oh, all right.
It doesn't have a great Rotten Tomatoes, and I read a lot of negative stuff, and I just watched one and went like, I should get... Even though Futurama is not a show that I love, even though I loved... You know, give me those first 6 seasons of The Simpsons on repeat for the rest of my life. Best television ever made. Futurama, I can give or take. I'll probably watch some more of this.
I really like Futurama, but don't feel it is as good as the peak Simpsons.
Which was pretty much
the greatest show on television.
And if you watch The Simpsons now, I'm not sure that Disenchantment is that much worse than a modern day Simpsons.
I would say Simpsons seasons 3 through 12 are like...
Oh, you're going that far.
10, 12, whatever.
Yeah.
Those are still... They're still pretty good if you look at them.
Yeah.
Those are pretty unimpeachable. Like 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Those are like the
peak of the Simpsons seasons.
Yeah.
I don't think anything they've done, even Futurama, which I really like, isn't as good.
The best thing about Disenchantment to me, based upon one episode, is that there is a Simpsons crossover.
Yeah.
And that is the elf is one of the happy little elves.
Right.
That, you know, the fake Smurfs.
Kind of, yeah.
And I've always loved happy little elves.
So.
And now we're getting happy little elves backstory. We're seeing the whole elf village.
The lead elf.
I thought that was really good.
The lead elf is named Elfo.
Yes.
Which you're like, well, that's lazy, until you realize that all of the elves... Like, he's got a girlfriend, a little slutty elf girlfriend named Kissy.
Yeah.
And then, like, all the, you know, and then there's Shaco.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh!
Yeah.
Like, all the elves are...
Well, it's sort of, that's based on the Seven Dwarves, I think, a little bit.
They're all named Burpo or Burpee or whatever. So that's kind of a funny gag.
It's very well done, I thought.
And I don't know if I like the voice acting very much.
That always takes some getting used to.
So there's like...
By the way, animated shows,
to
me, can just lose it with the... South Park's a thing I'll never watch because I hate the voices.
Well, why you don't like that voice all the time?
I don't. I'm not a fan. I think Rick and Morty might be the same thing. I don't think I'll ever watch Rick and Morty because I don't think I like the voices.
You don't like the voice acting on Rick and
Morty? I don't know. I don't know it well enough, but I get the feeling.
Our old friend Ryan Ridley,
yeah, I know,
is one of the writers on Rick and Morty.
I think he's not there.
Is he gone now?
Yeah, I think he's gone now. But he was the showrunner for.
He worked on it for a good long
time. I think whatever the classic Rick and Morty is, was
another,
his work.
By the way, that's another show where people think they're brilliant for watching.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They really feel they're being rewarded with scintillating brilliant stuff. None of these guys who watch Rick and Morty, by the way, watch like Better Call Saul, which is probably the best written show. On television, yeah. They don't fucking get, you know what I mean? They're never like, those guys are never really watching, you know, opera. No, yeah. But they're fucking geniuses for like.
I thought the CG stuff of the villages and Disenchantment was kind of neat. I thought it was kind of neat.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw it was what it was. It doesn't look, it's trying to look hand-drawn and it's clearly not. Okay. But I was fine with that. I thought it was neat looking.
Nat Faxon is the voice of Elfo.
Okay.
And I responded to his voice work as I've responded to every other fucking thing Nat Faxon with the big old yawn.
All right.
Nat Faxon doesn't do it for me as an actor.
Nat Faxon, it's funny he's still around, Nat Faxon.
Sadly, I think Elfo needed to be Jewier.
You think so?
Elfo needs to be like a
I haven't seen enough.
He needs to be like a Paul Reiser type.
Yeah.
He needs to be kind of a nebbishy Jew. That's my feeling. Anyway, Elfo.
Well, he did direct The Way, Way Back, which I like.
Yeah,
a lot.
But I just, as an actor, I don't care for Nat Faxon.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Abby Jacobson is the lead Princess Tia Beanie.
Uh huh.
It was just called Bean.
Yeah.
And she's fine. Abby Jacobson from Broad City.
Okay.
She's my preferred Broad in Broad City. I mean, I like them both, but, you know. It's a show about two horny Jewesses. I enjoy it. And then you've got a guy I do not like on his own.
Yeah.
But I've enjoyed him in certain stuff. Eric Andre.
Okay, yeah.
Did you ever see Man Seeking Woman?
I don't think I did.
Which was great.
Okay.
But was so high concept it couldn't last. I liked Eric Andre on that. I've never liked him in any other circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
Find him obnoxious. He's kind of great as the demon.
Right.
His voice is, he's perfect as a little shadow demon that follows him. I think Disenchantment has a dark tone to it.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of kind of medieval jokes where people are getting tortured and thrown in pits and murdered. And
well, I feel like a guy
impales himself on a...
I think that this is probably a thing that has more of an overarching storyline of the season, right? That this is a little more serial in nature than The Simpsons.
It's totally serialized.
And that's why it's hard for me to judge it, because I feel like they just got to the Disenchanted Forest at the end of episode one.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm assuming it's not going to take place in the village or in the happy little elf realm, and it's going to be its own thing. And so it'll be interesting to see where it goes. I mean, they're definitely doing a Lord of the Rings thing here. It's definitely
But they've got a
that.
Lot of the Futurama cast, John DiMaggio, Billy West, Maurice LaMarche, all the supporting characters, kind of like on The Simpsons, how Hank Azaria and Harry Shearer do like most of the other cast.
Yeah.
They've got the Futurama voice cast.
I was pleasantly surprised by this because I guess I expected it to suck because I read nothing but bad reviews of it. But I thought it was better.
People are
than it was going to be. Yeah,
it's really interesting how people will flip out over shit that's unworthy.
Yeah,
it is. And then something that's like this that is well made and funny.
I know.
They will. They'll go, well, it's not as good as this.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right.
This episode was no better than any other episode of Joel Radio.
No, this was great.
We failed yet again.
It was wonderful.
But Hollywood Nights with Tony Danza, Robert Wall.
That's what people should watch.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah, fuck that Sharp Objects. Go watch Hollywood Nights.
Look, I want late 70s shows about the early 60s.
You should at least watch the trailer for the package just to see how dumb it is.
I've
it's
seen,
real dumb.
You don't know the amount.
It's
of,
real
you know,
dumb.
What are you talking about? Like you should. I know. I should be genre agnostic.
No, I'm not saying watch the whole movie. I think there's certain people that will enjoy watching this whole movie. I don't think you're one of them. I'm not recommending. But I think you would actually enjoy Sharp Objects if you watch
the
whole thing.
Getting, you know,
I don't think you'd enjoy the package.
Well, you know what's getting terrible reviews, and
what's
I
that?
Looked at the trailer and said, "Yep."
What's
the
that?
Happy Time Murders?
Yeah. Yeah, no, people didn't like that.
But I knew from the trailer that it wasn't good.
Yeah, and I, you know, if it had gotten good reviews, I probably would have been interested in it as a thing.
I've liked that premise when it was been done before.
Yeah, yeah.
It was done on Greg the Bunny.
Yeah.
Like 15 years ago.
Right.
And it was done.
The R-rated puppet thing.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Is funny as a premise, but can it be a whole movie?
I don't know.
Spinning Image, great. Happy Time
Murders.
Spinning
Image is all puppets. There's not, like, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's not a puppet human interaction.
Is this a real world where she is amongst the puppets, or is everyone a puppet except Melissa McCarthy?
No, it's like humans and puppets live together.
So, okay, yeah. So it's...
Which they've done that
Roger Rabbit or
Roger
something.
Roger Rabbit. Yeah. Roger Rabbit was brilliant at the time.
Okay.
Anyway, this got shit on.
Well,
and when is Melissa McCarthy... When is the shoe drop for her?
I think that every Melissa McCarthy movie... Not unlike Abbott and Costello, not that all of them were like this, should just be called, like...
Melissa McCarthy Falls Down.
Melissa McCarthy Goes to College. Mm-hmm. Whatever, what was that? What was the name of that movie?
Sure.
Whatever. Life of the Party.
Right.
Should just be called Melissa McCarthy Goes to College.
Right. Yeah.
And I think it would do great. I think she would have a career of going, Melissa McCarthy is a spy.
Now, as we always talk...
And that was the movie Spy.
Well, we always talked about...
It should just become Melissa McCarthy is a firefighter.
For some reason...
Melissa McCarthy Goes in the Army. That's your next movie.
Right. And for some reason, they would always call, they would give names to the Abbott and Costello characters.
Yeah.
Like Chick and Slim. And
sometimes. Sometimes they were Bud and Lou. Yeah.
But they'd be like, it's Gus and Bill.
Right, yes.
And you're like, just call them Bud and Lou. There was no reason to give them names, really, right? They could have just been Bud and Lou.
Sometimes they're Bud and Lou, and sometimes they're not Bud
Whereas
and Lou.
Hope and Crosby were always the same guys.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But I think Melissa McCarthy should just call all of them.
Were they?
I don't know those.
Did they
well
have
enough.
Names in the road pictures? All right,
I couldn't tell.
All right, because some of them were in different time frames. All right,
it is a mystery.
We've now wasted all of your time.
No, I'm out of here. You're out. Corey's leaving. We ran out of Kit Kats an hour ago. I knew you were probably gone then.
Shit.
I knew you were probably
gone in the first 10 minutes.
Well, those are pretty good. Get yourself a peanut butter Kit Kat at Niagara Falls.
Yes, before Trump builds a wall.
While you're waiting in line to ride a go-kart around a Mario Kart track, go do that. It's really fun. Thanks for listening to Jewel Radio. We'll be back with you next time for more fun stuff. What can I tell you? What a good show. Happy Labor Day to those in the States. Happy bank holiday to our British friends. And what else can I tell you? I think it's bank holiday. Was it probably yesterday? Bank holiday Monday. No help for Corey. And we're going to go. You guys look that up.
Sorry, I'm not up on my British holidays.
Go watch the trailer for the package and the Niagara Speedway. Look up which British holiday it is. I don't know. See you later, guys.